It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 11th day of the 11th month. It is what we now in the modern era call Veterans Day. It is what was called on the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour of 1918, 102 years ago, Armistice Day. A day for noting the end of the mass slaughter that was World War I. A day for noting the end of the war to end all wars, and the war to make the world safe for democracy. You can see why maybe we eventually just turned it into Veterans Day when it turned out that it didn't end all wars, when there was World War II after that Korea, and after that Vietnam. And so it became Veterans Day, and a thankful Veterans Day. It is a day of gratitude to everyone and anyone who has served in the armed forces of the United States of America. Other countries have different days, but this is ours. This is what we make of it. And for those who have served in the military and the armed forces, a grateful nation says thank you. Yeah, except for Nitwit Nero. He did show up for the laying of the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown. And he stayed for all of six, count them, 6 minutes. Didn't utter a peep. He did reach over and touch the wreath. Wreath, Helen, it has a name. And then he and Melanoma scurried off to whatever it was that they were, you know, doing. Yeah, I left out the police actions, Randy. That's true. But for the most part, though, since the whole war to end all wars thing didn't work out, yeah, we just made it Veterans Day. Memorial Day in the spring is for those who never came home, but today is for all veterans, whether they served in warfare or not. And so a grateful nation says thank you. That includes folks like Boss Man Wayne and Sparky in the chat room, and Roger in Oregon, and Sailor Chick, and goodness me, probably too many to mention. And thanks go out to all. Hi, I'm Bob. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. Thanks go out. I don't think I got around last night to thanking James in Illinois. Thank you, James. And then thanks go out to today's 11th of the month subscribers. That means John and Paul from Parts Unknown and Tony and Chico and Brother Deacon Gerald, head of the Building and Grounds Committee of the Cathedral of Common Sense. And thank you to Chris in Oregon. And thank you, Cecilia, for getting us started here just shortly before the program began, meaning that we have a fundraising goal this evening of $530. And it would be great to knock that down some. It would be great to knock that down a lot. That's 10 people at $53. That's easier, 53 people at $10. It's 106 people at $5. And we'll have that many folks listening. And a lot more than that in terms of the podcast. But anyway, that's where the goal stands. $530. Hopefully it'll come down some. Because we've got bills breathing down our neck here. There's always a wolf on a lupine pest on the porch to be shooed away. And today I had about a $700 outlay that I wasn't planning on having to make. I told y'all yesterday that today was going to suck with a mighty sucking. And it turned out that it did. It sucked monumentally. And it sucked financially, emotionally, and it's not worth going into, but it did. It sucked a lot. And hopefully it's all behind us now. But it was really, there was much suckitude. And so that put a hole in the budget that had not been accounted for. But hopefully we'll knock down some of those $530, or maybe all of those $530, and I can kick a couple of lupine pests off the porch. It would be fan-damn-tastic if I could. Well, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs is getting us started, saying, I got $20 if there's $20 out there. So if you got $20, Ralphs will double it, and that'll get us off to a nice start to get us down under the terrifying $500 mark. Thank you, Ralphs. And of course, it's okay, Billable. Bob, stop telling us you have lupine pests. We all have them. You just need to feed them green Alpo. Hell, I can't afford the green Alpo either. Yeah, it was a grim day. But it's also the middle of the week. It's also hump day. Downhill to Friday. And much more than all of that, of course, it is, brethren and sistren, Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. And the faithful are indeed in gathered. We're still holding virtual services because, unlike ever so many real religions, our fake religion takes the idea of the coronavirus, the pandemic, the Trump pandemic, the Dondemic, seriously. And so the faithful are gathering in the chat room, and you're welcome there, too. If you've never participated in the Horn chat room, it's easy and it's free. Go to headon.live. Maybe become a new subscriber. Remember, our buddy Zed is doubling every subscription this month up to $50. And that is much appreciated. That's through the end of this month. But anyway, once you go to headon.live, click on chat room. If you've never been there before, pick out a screen name and a password. If you have, use the old one you've got if you can remember what it is. And upon arriving in the chat room, you will be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Jimmy in the Great Northwest and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And of course, seeing how Sparky takes Wednesdays off, you will be capably moderated by a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgistan. Steve! And so, although the cathedral itself is closed, brethren and sistren, well, the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men were so impressed with the descriptions of the chili that... Well, they had me make another big pot, and they sent it out to the shut-ins and roundabout to folks that needed a nice, blazing, scorching pot of chili. The little old blue-haired ladies came up with something else to do with it. They got a bowl out, and they picked out the beans, and then they took a couple of bricks of cream cheese and some shredded cheese and folded that chili with the brisket in it. And the onions and the tomatoes and the green peppers and the other spicy stuff, folded it together into the cream cheese and came up with a chili cream cheese dip that was not to be believed. So they sent that around with the bowls of chili and some tortilla chips. Right, tasty. Thank you. Jimmy says, great looking chili, Bob. It tastes even better than it looks. I had a big heat once I got home from this really rotten and terrible and shitty and awful day. Well, I had a big bowl of it, and that's why I'm fortified enough to be on the air, even though I'm right exhausted. And hey, look, Ralph's $20 challenge has been met by Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Thank you very kindly, and thank you, Ralphs, for making it. So that gets us down under $500. That gets us down to $490, and now we'll start working to get down below $4. Thank you both so very much, or thank you all so very much, Steve and Miss Karen, little Cletus, little Twiggy, and thank you, Ralphs. But the cathedral is closed for in-person services, as it has been since, God, March. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we can't engage in an observation of the obsequies. Because, of course, Scripture says that wherever one or more are in the presence of a subwoofer, there, too, can be found reason and common sense. So I am still, brethren and sistren, I am still Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Great Guru, Munificent Mullah, Bob Kincaid. And this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and I'm calling on you now. We don't have a blood red aisle, but you can still lay your hands on the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. Oh, amen. Ha! Amen, indeed. And I wanted to make sure that we had a service this evening. Yes. Because there's so much stuff out there for us to take a look at from the religious world based on solely on their behavior since November the 3rd. That would be 8 days ago. Well, 8 days ago. And so I thought it might be nice to ask the Minister of Music, remotely, of course, to lead us in the offertory hymn and hopefully, get a little bit of the stress off and out. And thank you. Thank you very kindly. We have knocked it down. We've knocked the fundraising goal down, thanks to an anonymous friend. Who tells me that I can take the goal down from 490 to 370. Thank you very kindly. I just sent along $120 to ease your suckitude. Well, it does, and thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you. So we'll call the Minister of Music forward, remotely, to lead us in the all-too-much-neglected of late offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, brethren and sisters, I'm telling you right now that we have miracles moving among us to report. Thank you, Brother Jeremy, for jumping in. And let's see, that gets us down to 365. Thank you, Brother Jeremy. By miracles, what I mean is a note that I recently got from Brother Kyle. And Brother Kyle reports to me, Brother Bob, I hate to start getting all religious all of a sudden, seeing how I'm an atheist, but I'm starting to wonder if there really is some kind of God, because since yesterday, all the maggots in my immediate family have been screaming at the orange asshole to concede and let Biden start his transition. Since it's obvious he lost and needs to set a good example like a president should. Obviously, they've missed the part about how he doesn't act like a president for the last 4 years, but, you know, you'll take your miracles as they arrive and without caveats or conditions. So just be grateful for the little miracle you have witnessed and received. Kyle, hear, hear. And all praise goes to the goddess of irony. And that being the case, let's other members of the religion industry have not been quite so equanimical. No, not at all, I'm afraid. Take, for instance... And I don't know whether to issue a hockey puck warning or suggest maybe that you just maybe stab yourself in the neck with a Thorazine dart, or I don't know exactly how to handle it. But we turn first to that damn near billionaire, if he isn't already, old fraud, Kenneth Copeland. And after the announcement of this past weekend that, in fact, Joe Biden had won the presidential election and that there would be no getting well for Nitwit Nero, well, the denizens of Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, who also... double as members of Kenneth Copeland's congregation, well, they joined in to get a sermon from old Ken.
The media said what? The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha, 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 ha,
Yeah. I think the Aricept isn't working anymore. Because, well, you can laugh all you want, Ken Copeland, but and it's pretty obvious that you despise our union, you despise our republic, and you can get your congregation fake guffawing, because that's not real laughter. But what was real was the fact that the congregation was standing up and laughing along with him, standing there, butthole to belly button, LARPing and smolicking all over each other, and laughing like that, that forced laughter, is a lot like singing in church, insofar as it spews droplets out into the air far past the 6 feet that is recommended in terms of social distancing. Mm-hmm. And so they were super spreading. Yeah. Yeah. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. And thank you very kindly to Sister Jude of Women's Standing out in the Great Northwest. That takes down the fundraising goal down to 345. Gary just knocked it down a notch to 320. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so very much. And Billable Rick notes, after playing that psychotic's crazy laughter, you really need to play the Na-Na song to reflect that Nitwit Nero will be leaving the plague, I mean White House, on January 20th, 2021. Well, I mean, I presume we all heard that song already. As sung by the folks who gathered outside of the White House, the Plague House, there on Saturday, singing na-na-na-na, 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 hey-hey, goodbye. Kyle pointing out, that Copeland clip is one of the best unintentional advertisements for increasing mental health care in this country I've ever heard. Holy shit. And you know, he's just, I said he's a nasty old fraud. And I can't think of a better description. I wonder how Kenneth Copeland will feel when, say, on some particular morning, we all get up and open the papers, or we see on the electric TV machine that, that Donald Trump has gone off to get his eternal reverse pineapples in hell someday. Wonder how he'll feel when we play his clip. You know, this. Or what, you know, or how he'll feel when, say, Mitch McConnell has a big old honking stroke and loses control of most of his bodily functions, and we play this clip. But that's a little bit grim. I'm going to hang on to this clip for hopefully sometime in 2021 when news comes out of the Southern District of New York that Donald Trump has been indicted on campaign finance violation felonies.
President, ha 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 ha.
And then maybe a little bit later, when he tries the case to a jury, and the jury comes back and says, guilty on all counts. And then, even later still, at the sentencing hearing, when the judge sentences Donald Trump to spend some time in prison, maybe even, as it turns out, the rest of his natural born days. Because, I mean, I don't mean to be an asshole or anything, but you know that's what we're going to do. Because how do you not? Matt in San Francisco says, I don't have any evidence, but I'm pretty sure Kenneth Copeland has a small child buried under his house. Yeah, I would not bet against you on that. No. Not in the least. Cowbell. For Matt in San Francisco. Kyle says, okay, I make fun of his psychotic laugh, but I imagine I may sound similar to that to a lot of people if Orange Asshole is dragged out by the Secret Service from the White House on January 20th, about 12:01 p.m., 2021. Or, you know, maybe, by the way, Mike Pencilneck Geek and Mother, decided not to go on vacation after all. I guess it got just a little too embarrassing and made it look like maybe Nitwit Nero was afraid that Mike might be trying to get away from his election fraud psychosis. But, you know, maybe one of these days when Mike Pencilneck Geek gets caught with a man in his mouth. Yeah, it would go on for a while like that if that were the case. Or when Kaylee Maganini, having flushed her career down the toilet, can't find a job doing anything more than maybe working the midnight shift at the Waffle House. I mean, I guess not to put too fine a point on it, but I have a feeling this clip is going to take on a life of its own. Now, I'm not going to close this one out because, and I'm going to bookmark it, as a matter of fact, because it's going to come in real handy. What's the old aphorism? That person laughs, he who laughs last laughs best. I was trying to take the gender out of it, but it's just a little difficult. She who laughs last laughs best. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of uses for this down the road. Okay, cowbell for Dave number 11. Okay, Jim Rome, how did you get in the studio and what did you do with Bob? Kyle says, Bob, you're having way too much fun with this. Our dog is looking at me sideways because I'm laughing so hard. Well, we're going to laugh even harder later. Oh, yeah, we are. We're going to have a real guffaw fest. Out in the rest of the religious world, it's been a veritable deluge of evangelicals and so-called prophets who've said that, you know, Trump is would win re-election. And so an individual by the name of Stephen Kozar sent along a compilation, and this thing goes on and on and on, too far too long to play the whole thing. It's 25 minutes long, but let's just check in with a little bit, and we'll skip around some to see how the prophesying skills worked out.
I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election.
President Trump is going to win.
And he says he's going to be in office for 2 terms.
The rebirth of this nation.
I pray your prophecy comes true. That's what we need.
It's coming to pass.
And watch the reelection of Donald Trump.
There's no doubt whatsoever. He will win because that's God's plan.
Donald Trump.
That was Kat Kerr, by the way.
What I intend to do through him, it will take 2 terms to do. This is what he said.
And I knew that Trump was going to be president.
The army of God will have victory after victory after victory.
That's Mark Taylor, firefighter prophet.
He says, you're going to get sick and tired of winning if there is such a thing. And that's going to be the same way for the army of God. It's going to be victory after victory after victory.
Will it be an 8-year presidency?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we will.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that, because I think what's going to happen is that when people see the good...
Now, this was broadcast on CBN News.
Right now, the prosperity, the jobs, the economy, whatever the case may be, there's going to be no doubt he's going to sail right in for the first second term.
Wendy Griffith, CBN News.
Do like I did. Get this book of Stevens. I got it when it was in the manuscript and studied it. I studied it and worked with it and studied it.
And what's going to happen this election, Donald Trump, I know, is going to win Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, all everywhere, Ohio, Florida, even Nevada.
Now, this is the MyPillow meth head, Mike Lindell.
I mean, these polls are false, and everywhere you go, on the ground, people, you don't see Biden signs out there. You see, I'll just take the black demographic, the African-American, their vote was like 6-8%, I think, in 16. He's going to get 20-25% of that vote. He's done more for African Americans than anybody in history.
Oops.
So these are the things I'm seeing. It's going to be the greatest red wave you ever seen.
Boy, that's exciting.
Will President Trump, from what God is showing you,
Sid Roth,
his second term?
Yes, it is for sure, Sid, that God wants President Trump in. That's not the question. The question is the process going to eliminate the problems that are already existing in the accountability of the voting process itself? Because this is what's really being addressed here. It's kind of an exciting time because God's using this to expose the inaccuracies and the fact that people can do what they want in their state.
Sure.
This needs to be eliminated. These ability to have fake.
Kevin Zadai calls himself a doctor, even though he isn't one. He's a fake doctor, just like his mentor, Dr. Jesse Duplantis, and a lot of the other guests that Sid Roth has on his show.
Fake.
Now, we're 3 minutes into this clip. Again, it goes on for 24, and we're not going to subject ourselves to that much nuttery. But there is an abundance of it. It was going to be an electoral clean sweep. He was going to get every electoral vote in the country. You know, even Massachusetts and California and Oregon and Washington. Yeah, I know. But then it turned out that he didn't. And so that's when evangelical gospel sharp Terry Pearson's said, but maybe we need a backseat and a do-over.
Expose it all! Expose it all, Lord! And Lord, if it be your will and if it be necessary, another election, another voting day, whatever it takes under your kingdom, oh God, to bring it all in line.
And again, indoors, no masks. I don't think they're going to survive to another election day, even if we did have backseas and a do-over. They're a little bit desperate, and that includes Kat Kerr. You heard her saying, "Yeah, it's going to win on a landslide." Kat and her pink hair. Well, he didn't. So Kat sort of redefined the terms. so that maybe she wouldn't be quite so disastrously wrong, quite so incompetently.
And if you will remember, one of the things he had me say was that Trump would win by a landslide. Okay. Now, in man's mind, in their human mind, they already put together what they think that means.
Yeah, in the human mind. What? Of course, it's a word, and speech is a human construct, a product of human evolution. Some anthropologists think that we may have first learned speech by hominins or humanoids in the southern Indian subcontinent, listening to birds and figuring out that they too could communicate with noises. Maybe, possibly. And the words that Kat Kerr used were surefire landslide victory. Those are human words, and well, I guess Kat's not exactly something you'd want to call a human. But, yeah.
Right.
Many times, as we know in the Word, or even just from experience ourselves, especially as a prophet, that doesn't ever mean what man thinks it means.
Oh.
And if you will go and check out and see how a landslide starts. It starts with a few stones. Usually the smaller ones start first. And then that causes the land to move beneath the rest of them. And then eventually nothing can stop that landslide from taking place. That is actually what's going to happen.
Now, she said this after the election. Yeah. So somehow or another, even though Joe Biden is so far ahead of Donald Trump, Trump can't catch him. Well, Trump's just in his little pebble phase right now. His tiny pea phase. Tiny pea brain phase.
And there are many lies that have been dumped. Many lies that have gone forth about things from the left. And I'm not naming names. Guy will fully expose all this himself.
Yeah, because she's just not up to making them up right now.
And it will start with a phone call. That was the other thing he kept saying to me this morning.
Because, she just wakes up and, hey, God, good morning. Could you get me a cup of coffee? I'm God. Get it yourself. You get me a cup of coffee. She gets up in the morning. God talks to her. She takes her medicine, her morning meds, and then God doesn't talk to her, for a while until, the next morning when the half-life of the meds is worn off. It's a funny thing about chemistry like that.
You begin to feel the ground move, which means the landslide of exposure is about to begin. And then he says it will all start with one phone call. And
really?
I know how that works. I know actually what that does mean, that those who have been perpetrating the lie, they've been paid to commit lies or stealing or cheating, will begin to get very nervous. They're actually already nervous. And let me tell you, conviction is going to come upon some of them in the lower levels. That's what he meant about the landslide.
Convictions in the lower levels. Anybody got any idea what this loopy woman's taught? Usually when I have convictions in the lower levels, I try to find a restroom as quickly as possible.
Smaller rocks move first, which pulls the bigger ones down. And that's what he meant when he said Trump will win by a landslide. So there you go. That's the difference between revelation and what man in their head thinks that means.
Well, okay, we're all clear on that. In other words, she was dead wrong. Trump got buried, and now she's trying to find a way to dig herself out. You go, Kat Kerr. You go. And it's not enough to deny Trump's loss. It's also necessary to attack the faith of people of faith. Because there's only one kind of Christian, and if you're not like them, you're not a Christian. So that brings us to Pastor Jack Hibbs of the Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California. among other things, he has made the argument in the past that the lockdown, 2 months was enough, and churches had to go back to meeting in person and LARPing and smolicking and gravelating and all of that. That was in May. Then he showed up in a combat helmet because he said Christians are under attack, as Hemant Mehta tells us. Then in September, there was the in-person baptism of 1,000 people, a super spreader event. And then with Nitwit Nero facing a shellacking, it was beyond him. And it became necessary to attack the belief structure of people with whom he disagrees. Yeah.
We praise you tonight. We humble ourselves tonight, Lord God. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father, that you'd forgive us as a people.
Yeah, we've heard him before, the crying, right?
Almighty God. Please, God, you are pro-life, and one man is, and one man is not. Would you be pro-life for us, Jesus? Lord, one man is for Israel, one is not. You are for Israel. Lord, one man is for our military and our police, and the other is not. You are. What will we decide? What message will we send you?
Yeah, I remember the tinkling
Jesus.
Ivories.
Forgive us as a people. We have.
And there's this one lone weird dude in this super spreader audience in the middle of the congregation standing up with his hand in the air. Nobody else standing up. I sure feel stupid, but I can't sit down now.
Slept when we should have been awake. We've played when we should have been praying. We have faltered between two opinions. And we have sown to the wind. And we're asking for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray tonight for the salvation of Joe Biden, God, that you'd touch his soul.
Yeah, because, right, Joe Biden isn't saved. He was baptized as a Roman Catholic as a wee little tiny baby. He went through confirmation, learned his catechism, you know, all that magical stuff. But he's not saved.
All he knows is his version of Catholicism. He doesn't know you personally.
Yeah, in other words, he's not psychotic. It might be worth noting that the church itself has said from time to time that this emotionalized horseshit hustle, baloney evangelicalism, is actually a heresy. And all that end times crap is a heresy, too. So there's that.
Father, we pray for Kamala Harris. She's had such...
Kamala.
A crazy exposure to spiritual things, but none the truth.
Yeah. Kamala Harris has been exposed to crazy spiritual things. I guess he thinks that she's... I don't know. She goes home at night and says things like, Kalima! Kalima! Hanan Shema! Hanan Shema! You know, and then pulls beating heart out of somebody's chest. Yeah, there's just one problem with that. Kamala Harris, same as the way I was baptized. No shit.
is a Baptist. No, really. She's a Baptist. Kamala is. Yeah. And that was reported by Religion News Service. While back. Last week of October. 3 days before Halloween. Kamala Harris told Religion News Service, "My faith journey started when I was a little girl. On Sundays, my mother would dress my sister Maya and me in our Sunday best and send us off to the 23rd Avenue Church of God in Oakland, California, where Maya and I sang in the children's choir. That's where I found some of my earliest memories of the Bible's teaching. It's where I learned that faith is a verb and that we must live it and show it in action." Oh, but then she talks about how her mother took her to Hindu temples. She also said, "I've seen it reflected in the Jewish traditions and celebrations I now share with my husband, Doug. From all these teachings and traditions, I've learned that faith is not only something we express in church and prayerful reflection, but also in the way we live our lives and do our work and pursue our respective callings." Yeah. And she says, she enjoys going to church. Church still plays a role, for me to feel grounded in a complex world. I study the teachings of the Lord. And she's not talking about Lord Krishna. But that gospel sharp is Jack Hibbs is not hip to any of that. No. Easy there, Jude. Jude says, "I'm having my eldest granddaughter, age 32, over for dinner. And I may have to decork the wine before she arrives at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. These insane heretics are beyond the pale." Oh, I understand. Sometimes it's beyond just uncorking. It's uncork and insert swirly straw. It makes it a little bit more easy to tolerate. But Jack Hibbs is upset and crying. Some of them aren't crying, though. Yeah, oh, no. No, no. And we'll get to them. Kyle said, "People can vote for someone who's not a Republican? That must change now." And Lou reminding me to remind y'all that the special runoff election in Georgia is slated for January 5th. I'm going to try to mention that every program between now and January 5th. I suspect you can, if you want to vote absentee in Georgia, you can request your absentee ballot now. It cannot be mailed out before November 18th. But the minute you get it, fill it out and hand deliver it back to the election officials from whence it came. January 5th. Thank you, Frank. We are below $300. Glory, as the plates continue to pass virtually. The deacons are practically immobile at this point, not having had to engage in any real physical exercise since March. But we're down to 295, and that is tremendous. Thank you so, so very much. We can get caught all the way back up to an entire day's fundraising if we knock out 95 more bucks. That's huge. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Silent R. Lamar said, "Help me, Bob, please," all caps. Before I start on my pillow, question first, was my before I start on the My Pillow Fool, Mike Lindell. Question, was my pillow fool born in the 80s? Because if he was born in the 60s, I want to know which rock he crawled out from under and, put his ass back under it. And continues, Trump's done more for black people than anybody else? Okay. I'll give. Trump has done more for black people than David Duke. I wonder where the help was the my pillow fool when Johnson passed the civil rights bills of 65 and the Voting Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act. Shit, I'm going to buy a wig so I can pull the hair out of it. Wait, buy a wig just so I can pull the hair out of it. Yeah, that's cowbell worthy. Silent R. Mm-hmm. Kat Kerr, Lee in New York, points out, knows Trump will win re-election. Grover Cleveland style, the only president to be president, lose an election, and then come back and win another term. You watch your mouth, Lee. Them's fighting words. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, you know, poor God. Such a loser. Then there's always the possibility that if he's real, and I'm a little skittish about that, not sanguine about it, then maybe he won. Maybe what happened 4 years ago was an aberration brought on by a temporary blip in the forces of darkness in the underworld. Yeah. Possible. Landslide, Lee in New York, points out, is a nice song by Fleetwood Mac. When a landslide brought me down. That's fine. Because you got to put the finger on your voice box and blow to make your Stevie Nicks noise. But why do Republicans with words, there's a word missing there, unless it's propaganda. Dearest daughter, I wank him a daddy Trump Kushner does not know what complicit means. Maybe the Southern District of New York can, help her out. Help would be good. And answering Silent R. Lamar's question, Lee informs us, Mike Lindell was born June 28th, 1961, signed your researcher, Lee. So there's your answer, Silent R. Mm-hmm. And so while some of them are bawling and some of them are laughing, well, Paula White is doing neither. No, Paula White is telling, and you know, all these gospel sharps have the amazing ability to tell the almighty creator of the universe what to do. And certainly that includes Paula White, spiritual advisor of Donald Trump.
We push back every agenda that would release a premature satanic agenda in the name of Jesus. Anything that would be of an antichrist spirit, we break it right now in the name of Jesus. Every antichrist spirit, we break it right now. Every antichrist agenda that is being pushed, we break it, we override it, we overturn it, we overturn it, we overturn it in the name of Jesus right now. God, we just declare that you will keep the feet opposed in his purpose, in his position right now. We stop and we override the will of man for the will of God. We override the will of man for the will of God. We override the will of man for the will of God. Even when they cry out and say, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king, give us Saul, give us Saul, give us Saul, and you say, you don't want Saul, you don't want Saul, you don't want Saul. We override the will of man for the will of God right now. And we ask by the mercy and the blood of Jesus that you overturn it, overturn it, overturn it, overturn it, overturn it, overturn it, overturn it.
And really, there was nothing wrong with the audio there. She just kept repeating, overturn it, overturn it. And there's something about when she does that madness, it reminds me of Thufir Hawat in the Dune movie, drinking the juice that turns him into a human computer. I don't think I can find it right off the bat, but God almighty. So they're just going to, fuck democracy, fuck the republic, fuck participatory governance. We just need a We just need an authoritarian dictatorial theocracy, and everybody will be real happy, because you'll have to be, or people like Paula White will cut your head off. Yeah. Then there's David Brody, who says, I believe CNN has it wrong. He's with, David Brody is with that Marion Pat Robertson, former liquor supply officer, hustle out of Virginia Beach. I believe CNN has it wrong. It would be more accurate to say CNN projects the U.S. presidency to our good friend Joe Biden, who we let slide by with no serious questions. They are a petty, pissy little bunch. And it goes on. Over at Charisma, the evangelical magazine, Eddie Hyatt, a gospel hustler, says that any Christians who voted for Biden are, well, they're shallow and they're irrational. Evangelical leaders like John Piper and Beth Moore warned evangelicals about voting for Donald Trump. Should they not instead have warned? Should they not instead have warned their followers about the Democrat Party? It's Democratic, you dick. Official rejection of God and America's founding values. Sadly, the Democratic Party has rejected the God of the Bible and America's founders. In 2019, for example, the Democratic National Committee, again, you dick, unanimously passed a resolution affirming atheism and declaring that neither Christianity nor any religion is necessary for morality or patriotism. Guess what? It is not necessary to be religious in order to be moral. That's not even debatable. God, these people are sickening. But they're also a big part of what is poisoning this country. And at first, in the early hours of November 4th, or shortly after the polls closed, well, Michelle Bachmann, she knew what was going to happen. You know, Trump was going to win. And she said that on Kenneth Copeland's channel, by the way.
Well, you know, it was said just before that we had a crucial moment 4 years ago when the intercessors in the prayer room down at KCM Ministries took to heart the different notes that we passed in to pray. And I think that we're at that moment now where the beauty of this show is that it's interactive. And all of our viewers who are watching, we need them. The body of Christ needs them. And we
the body
all
of Christ compels you.
With the intercessors that are praying even now. And I want to encourage with this particular scripture to pray this with me. It is Isaiah 43:13. It says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No
she
one
said
can
snatch.
Undo what I have done. And what I would say is that God has already sealed the results of this election. He has sealed it in heaven. And just as Brother James just told us, Satan wants to intervene with God's plans, and he has a certain amount of authority on this earth. But we as believers have greater authority because the scripture says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So that's why we can stand on this scripture. We can stand and say, number one, devil, you will not snatch out of God's hand what he is holding in his hand, because he is God from eternity to eternity. And then the scripture goes on to say, no one can undo what I have done. So let's pray together now and say, Father, you are the God who is from eternity to eternity. And we say and decree and declare that no one,
not even the devil himself, can snatch anyone out of God's hand. And no one, not even the devil himself, can undo what God has already done. Father, we thank you that you have...
Yeah. Well, that was happening. While that was happening, Trump was losing. And then, well, after he lost, well, it got a little bit rougher for Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman. Jeremy in Vermont, I'm as lost as you. What the fuck is she saying? No, seriously, what the fuck is she saying? Maybe the secret decoder ring that you got in your box of Bibelos or something will help, because but once it appeared that God had not been from eternity to eternity, and that somehow or another, maybe God didn't want Donald. No, he couldn't not want Donald Trump. I mean, what with Donald Trump being such a moral man? Well, we had to have another way for Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman to come at the issue.
I ask, oh God, that you would take your iron rod, and I ask that you...
Iron rod. This is the same woman whose husband deep-throated a corn dog at a fair. Iron rod.
You would smash the clay jar of deceit in America. Smash the clay jar of delusion in the United States of America. Smash the delusion, Father, of Joe Biden as our president. He is not. Yes. Would you take your iron rod and smash the strong delusion that Nancy Pelosi does have her House of Representatives? We don't know that. Smash it in Jesus' name. Smash, Lord, the takeover of the U.S. Senate by Chuck Schumer.
Becky, let me smash. Why? I mean, I don't understand how it is that the First Amendment confers upon these lunatics the idea that they are beyond criticism, and that their mental illness is different from any other person's. Mental illness when they hear voices telling them to do and say insane things. Bibelos, Dan says, aren't Bible is Fruit Loops? Well, okay. Yeah. What about Eve's Apple Jacks? Yeah, there's that. Thank goodness, says Matt in San Francisco. Thank God they forgot to put in the note to elect Donald into their prayer thingy. That was a close one. That was a close one. Their prayer thingy. Right. Their iron prayer rod. Sure. And Sumant says, what the hell does agenda mean? Who is this agenda? A-G-I-N-D-H-A. And why is he screaming for salt? Good luck. You know, just good luck, Sumant, because I'm not getting anywhere either. It ain't just you. Lee in New York. Paula White's speechwriter, does he or she get paid by the word? 2 minutes of text spoken in a half an hour? That's just a little... I don't think that's a speech. That's just sacred babble. And by the way, today at 11:11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Jude tells us there was a sense of internal warmth on a chilly, damp 45 degrees day while standing with the boots. I felt the alignment of more consciously focused individuals. We thank you. And thank you, Jude. Thank you. Smash, Lee in New York, says, is Michelle Bachmann seeking help from God or the Incredible Hulk? Hulk smash, Biden smash. I have stick. Becky, let me smash. Yeah. So that gets us, that's a pretty decent survey, and there's still a lot more stuff, but I'm a little bit up to my eyeballs in the madness, and I need a little bit of sanity if the same can be had. And I'm grateful, therefore, that our buddy Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, decided to ring in. Steve,
Blob,
how are you?
Raw dog, ask Gordo on his quality poos, bro.
Yeah, Gordo, man.
Is he rubbing ass all over the couch again?
Oh, you know it. You know it. While I was driving home today, I heard an interview on Fresh Air, and Terry Gross was interviewing some noted food writer about how foods smell and what those smells we smell, what makes them smell that way. And one of the things I immediately thought was, Gordo, get off the couch.
Goddamn, Gordo, get off the couch. So you had a stress day today, huh?
It was a downright stinker. It just sucked for air.
It's not you, Bob. It's across the board. I think everybody's stressed. I wrote down all my stressors last night just to see if I'm losing my fucking mind or what the hell's going on here. It was 2 pages long, bro.
I believe it.
And then you got to deal with the election and all this bullshit and all the rat fuckery that's going on, and Pompeo out there saying there's not going to be a peaceful transition. It's like you always said, when these fuckers tell you what they're going to do, believe them.
Yeah.
And that really is concerns me. And now today, Georgia decided that they wanted to re-hand count all the votes.
I saw that.
And see, that's the process?
Well, I mean, not entirely, but let me just add that. See, that's what makes what Loeffler and Perdue are doing. You know, the Republican Georgia Secretary of State must resign now. And the Georgia Secretary of State saying, no, I ain't gonna. It's
right.
It's theater. This is to make people think that there's something vaguely honest about the Georgia Secretary of State, when in fact he's got plans to suppress the vote from Dahlonega to Columbus.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and it's very concerning. Just hopefully there'll be enough oversight. And I wanted to break down the process a little bit, because it's not like they're going to go one for Biden, one for Trump. No, what they do is they separate them. All the Bidens in one stack, all the Trumps in the other stack. Each county does this. Then they feed it through the machine. So the machine still is ultimately counting them. It's not going to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But right. Still, it's very concerning, because why would he have an about face after they just shit all – or shat. I like that word. Shat all over him, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's still the machine, and, well, that's something that's worrisome, because those machines are still, you know, I think they're still hackable.
Yeah, but generally, it's been my observation that recounts, you only gain 200 or 300 votes each, you know, either way. So I don't know how the fuck they're going to make up 14,000 votes, but if there's a way, they'll find it. You know?
Well, you may have answered your own question. They're going to make up 14,000 votes.
Make up 14,000. Yeah, that's very concerning.
Hey, look, we got a vote here from a guy named Gordo that we didn't count.
And Raw Dog. Raw Dog up in the foothills. Yeah, this is for Trump. So, yeah, it's there's just so much craziness going on now. It's hard to process. I mean, why would Trump be replacing his military brass with only 70 days left before he?
Well, it's interesting you'd raise that, because Brother Deacon Asa, who has seen some things in his time, actually offered up a couple of possibilities.
Yeah, I know, man.
He said, no matter how much I rack my brain, you know, why would a despot who's on his way out in 70 days replace all the top military brass with his own shitbags. No matter how much I rack my brains, I can only arrive at one of these two conclusions. One, he's either putting his own lackeys into the national security infrastructure so they can soak up as much intel as they can so that they can then later divulge it to his owners, i.e. the Kremlin. Remember, he may not be able to do the transfer of information himself because he'll be under a lot of scrutiny. They'll be watching his every move. Or, two, the second conclusion, and in my mind the more likely and sinister one, is that he wants to call a military coup. And Brother Deacon Asa says, I've seen this movie in the past. It doesn't end well. At least not in one's lifetime.
Well, Bob, these mother effers...
That's chilling.
These mother effers are shameless, bro. They're effing their own mothers right in front of us. Oedipus Metipus, what are you wearing, Ma? You know, shit, man.
Wait a minute. Oedipus Metipus, what are you wearing, Ma?
But they're doing it right in front of us, man.
Yeah.
Right in front of us. So, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot to process. So, if anybody out there thinks they're losing their minds, they're not. Just write down all your stressors and look at what you're up against. I'll tell you what's got me down the most right now. It's my mom. She's in this assisted living facility. And I don't want to make this thing about me. I don't. But I mean, this might be the last Christmas that I'll never get to see her again. You know, that's difficult to process, my man.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, I've been down that road, and it hurts like hell.
Yeah, it hurts. And it's not so much for her. Maybe I'm being selfish. It's for me. She'll forget 10 minutes after I leave. You know, but I got to live with this. And then so does Stephanie Miller and a lot of people. We're all in this same boat because of this orange bastard's incompetence.
It is, well, and with the pandemic blowing up the way that it is, it makes everything 1,000 times worse. I mean, I heard on the way home today that if Texas, for instance, if Texas was a separate country, they would be in the top 10 coronavirus countries in the world.
It's blowing up, Bob.
They crossed their millionth case in the last day or so in just one state, Texas. I'm getting to the point where I feel like I'm going to have to say, look, you know, we're locking down. Even if nobody else does, we're locking down.
I was in Walgreens, and four people were there milling around without masks, and I was calling them out. And Karen was holding me back, you know. I'm tired of it. I've had it. And they've got big picture signs on the door. No masks, no entry. I was saying, can't you fuckers read?
Because I knew I was going to be on the road all day today. Last night after the program, I went up to the Rippy Mart to fill the tank. And somebody pulls up on the other side of the gas pumps, the other side of the island from me. And this girl gets out, no mask, and just bebops into the store. And and it's not like it's a little postage size stamp sign. It's a great big red sign that says, please wear a mask.
Right.
But you go right. She just sashays into the store, no mask. And behind the counter, there are two young people working for the store, not wearing a mask.
Clerk's not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Not good, man.
And so they're not going to say, hey, will you please wear a mask? They would rather die of their own stupidity than take a very simple action to prevent the disease. And there's nowhere I can go where people are wearing masks and behaving responsibly to fill my gas tank.
Bob, you're a smart guy. You know, I know I can always call on you whenever, you know, I'm feeling down. And I wanted to ask you, how do we deal with this shit? Do you call them out? I don't want to provoke somebody. I didn't get that close to somebody where I got to, you know, I don't even want to go there. I'm not a violent person. But you get what I'm saying.
If they're near you in the store, you look at them and say, you're not wearing a mask. Get the fuck back. Or maybe be a little more gentle about it and say, please step back.
I just speak very loudly to Karen. Look at that clown. He ain't got no mask. Can he read? Karen's like, Steve, shut up.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good, Steve. Can you, honey, can you believe some people, the sign's as big as the day is long. Please wear a mask. And the morons come in here without a mask on. Yeah. How stupid can some people do? That's
some
good.
Some people, they've even got, you know, like pictures like in McDonald's for literate people that can't read.
Or Republicans.
I don't know. What are they trying to prove? I like getting sick. I like getting my loved ones sick. And I have a prediction, and it's pretty grim. After January, you got these three holidays, or what is it, two? Thanksgiving, Christmas, and no, three, and New Year's Eve, where everybody is so fucking spoiled.
Hold on, boss. Hold on, boss, because it crosses lines. It's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It's Christmas.
Yep.
It's Hanukkah. It's Kwanzaa. Yep. Maybe the Muslims have a holiday in there somewhere. Yep. And then New Year's. Oh, but wait, because this is a secular holiday. Then you've got the college football so-called national championship, and people will be in bars and hooting it. And there's something that happens. See, when people drank,
and yeah, masks tend to go.
Far be it for me to criticize somebody for drinking, but if you go out and drink in a bar, then your inhibitions fall away, and the next thing you know. When your team's winning or losing, you're LARPing and smollicking all over your next door neighbor going, I love you, man.
I love you, man. I love you. You're one of my best friends. I love you. I've seen it, man. I've seen it. I know exactly what you're saying. Your inhibitions, you know, it lowers the bar. And your common sense lowers the bar. So, you know, what is your prediction? After January 1st, what do you think? Fivefold? What are we up to a day now? Infections.
Oh, Jesus. On a daily basis?
Yeah.
What, 1,600 a day?
Yes.
I mean, we're past 240,000.
We got all these social holidays, and I've already talked to relatives of mine I'm going to live my life. I'm not wearing a mask. You know, that you can't get through to these people, Bob. It's like,
and your answer is, well, I'm going to live my life too, and that's why I am wearing a mask, because I want to go on living my life. You apparently want to live it a little bit and then fucking die.
Yeah. It's just very selfish. It's a very selfish outlook. You know, and while we're having sports in the middle of a pandemic, that escapes me. I won't watch it. I'm not patronizing stupidity. I know a lot of people, they do. Safe sports, okay. NASCAR, I get it. Golf, if you're into that, I get it. But, you know, these full contact sports like football, nobody loves football, you know, like we do, the Horn family. I get it, but why? Why are they having these things, man? Are we that spoiled?
Well, that's what the real live no kidding doctor said last week. Or earlier this week after the super spreader event in South Bend, Indiana. Why did they even let people into the stadium for that game?
Right. And there's one where they rushed the field. Where was that?
That was Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
They let 11,000 people in, and all 11,000 people, it seems, went down on the field when Notre Dame won in overtime.
Yay, my team won. I'll be dead in 6 weeks. Woohoo! The ignorance of that, man.
Yeah, it spray me, fighting Irish. Spray me. and the thing is, Texas got to the million COVID case mark first, but California is hot on its heels. I mean, if you look at that COVID Act Now website, like I pointed out last night, Steve, there is not a single state that's anything less than orange. There's no green. There's no yellow. It's all orange and red. Period. Wow.
Well, not to jump all over the place, but circling back to Pompeo and Mitch and all these guys that won't give up. Do you think it's theater? Or do you think they know something that we don't know?
No, they're just, I think they're trying to keep Nitwit Nero happy. But at the same time, there's like 13 cases in the White House right now since Mark Meadows was diagnosed as a spreader.
Because he's got 70 million followers, you know, 70 million. So basically, Nitwit Nero is the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I would not doubt if he didn't run it again in 2024.
And one of the things that I hate is that I'm seeing and hearing reading these think pieces all about how Trumpism isn't going away. And I heard it as I was going down the road today, and I thought, you know, I'd like to ask one of these journalists, please define Trumpism. Please define Trumpism in such a way as to make it the viable political philosophy that you're claiming it is by calling it Trumpism. It's a cult. I mean, if it's an ism, then it's an ism the way Heaven's Gate was an ism. You know, it's an ism that says we're all going to buy brand new Converse tennis shoes, get castrated, take cyanide, and get on the spaceship that's out behind the comet that nobody can see.
Well, we're in a hell of a mess, Bob, and it's only going to get worse. The only one speaking, the only sensible voice in the room is Joe.
Yeah, and even he's getting shit. I mean, because just from the Department of Things That Piss Me Off, from The Hill today, the headline was "Progressives Unveil Biden Cabinet Wish List." Now, I want to make something clear here. You consider yourself a progressive person, don't you?
Absolutely.
I do. I think the vast majority of this community does. And so let me just share with you the beginning. Two top progressive groups on Wednesday urged President-elect Joe Biden to fill his cabinet with their allies, the most explicit effort yet for left-wing activists to influence the future 46th president's administration. Now, who are these two top progressive groups? Well, they're Justice Democrats and the Sunrise Movement, described as a group of youth climate change activists. The Sunrise Movement. That's the group, and they're, you know, of course, run by adults, but, you know, young people are the membership. And this is the bunch that went to give Hail Columbia a couple of years back to Dianne Feinstein. And if ever there was a Democrat who wasn't named Joe Manchin who deserved having Hail Columbia handed to her, it's DiFi. And it was a terrible moment. It was a moment that was missed and botched on both sides. Because, frankly, instead of visiting Dianne Feinstein, the Sunrise Movement should have gone and camped out in Mitch McConnell's office. Because Dianne Feinstein has precisely zero power. And on Dianne Feinstein's part, she should have said, okay, I appreciate you coming by. Really glad you did. In fact, this is a great moment for us. Come on, kids. I'm going to take you to where you need to be. And march them to Mitch McConnell's office and walk in the door herself and say, hi, brought some folks to see Mitch. Enjoy. And it would have worked out a lot better than it did. Instead, it turned into a bunch of stupid bullshit baloney. Let's gin up a non-traversy stories. So, Sunrise Movement. And Justice Democrats, who as often as not run Democrats against incumbent Democrats. Just saying. They run candidates that they know are going to get waxed and then fundraise off their asses and support their organization and other candidates that way. Seen that happen. So the Justice Democrats and the Sunrise Movement giving exactly zero thought, apparently, as far as I can tell, to what they were about to do, demanded that Joe Biden make, let's see here. They want Bernie Sanders to be made Secretary of Labor, which would then open up Vermont to possibly having a Republican in Sanders' seat. they want him to appoint Elizabeth Warren to be the Secretary of the Treasury, which then opens up her seat to possibly being taken by a Republican. They want Barbara Lee to be Secretary of State. They want Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota, to be the Attorney General of the United States. That's not so bad, because at least you're not harming either of the caucuses in the Congress. But they want to pull Rashida Tlaib out of her, and you know she's only won her second term in the House. They want her to leave the Congress to head HUD. They want to pull one of the most effective progressives out of the House to run the Department of Health and Human Services in Representative Pramila Jayapal. And I'm sitting here reading the story, thinking, you know, are y'all even paying attention? You don't want to gut your strength in Congress for jobs that may be 4 years, eight tops. You know, most people are gone. Most cabinet appointees usually split after the first term, and so somebody else can get the experience.
Sure, that's protocol, typically.
And I mean, it just looks like it looks like another case of classic Democratic act in haste, repent in leisure. You know, they want to pull Deb Haaland out of the House and put her at Secretary of the Interior. They want Governor Jay Inslee to give up being governor of Washington to be the no particular title climate dude in the White House. And now something I could certainly get on board with this. Mustafa Ali of the National Wildlife Federation, they want him to be the head of the EPA. Okay.
That makes sense.
But gutting your own congressional caucuses? Holy
shit. That's kind of productive. Yeah, man.
Now, how are you going to get Elizabeth Warren back into the Senate? Because once you're out, you're generally out for good.
Yeah.
if you didn't want to stay senator enough if you were disinterested in being senator enough to take a cabinet position, you don't get to come back.
No, typically not. What is it? Vacation? We're going the wrong way.
Yeah. And again, I'm not trying to goon on these organizations, but that ain't helping.
No, think this thing through, man.
I mean, there are good, talented people. I mean, hell, you've got a former vice president in Al Gore who could step in on climate mobilization.
Oh, absolutely. Perfect fit. Perfect fit.
And you're not doing anybody any harm elsewhere.
Right, right. You're not robbing Peter to pay Paul.
And so...
It's frustrating. It really is.
You know, I'd kind of like for Keith Ellison to stay Attorney General of Minnesota so that he can keep an absolutely microscopic view of the prosecution of George Floyd's murderers.
Sure. Or let Kamala pull somebody from her inside ring. You know she knows some talented folks that may not even be on air radar.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented people.
Yeah.
And I know that some of the names that are being floated by other organizations, or maybe by the Biden camp itself, are decidedly not ideologically pure enough. And I'm sure everybody on this list is ideologically pure enough.
Yeah.
But at what cost? I mean, if we can take the Senate, I want Bernie putting together the budget. What better place to make your progressive priorities a reality? I want Elizabeth Warren And I bet you the people of New Mexico, I was thinking about Deb Holland. I bet you the people of Massachusetts want her to stay in the Senate too. Or most of them do. The ones that aren't maggots. And it's kind of presumptuous on the part of these organizations to say, no, we know better than the voters of Massachusetts. They'll find somebody else. I'm sure there's somebody out there that they can get by with instead of Elizabeth Warren.
Taking the Senate's going to be a tall order, Bob. And with this runoff, it's just adding. I think they're creating chaos is another part of this game plan for this hand count. They're actually going to start mailing out the absentee ballots once you've sent in your application on the 18th. Well, they got this hand count they got to do now. I tried calling the Secretary of State's office all day, my local counties. I couldn't get through. So I wanted to find out, should I come up, hand deliver this application, fax it? What would be the least chaotic way? Or should I just wait till the 22nd?
Well, but you also have to ask the question, what is the least COVID way? You need to check your Secretary of State website. I mean, to West Virginia's credit, they made it easy. I went to the West Virginia Secretary of State's website back in August. We were talking about it on the air here.
Yep.
And they said, hey, you can request an absentee ballot online.
You can fax it.
But if you can request it online, do that.
Yeah.
You know, because the way it worked in West Virginia, my name was on the rolls and my address was on the rolls. And so once everything checked out, it was like, okay, your request has been submitted and you'll get your absentee ballot after September 18th. And the Monday after September 18th, whatever day that was, or the next day after September 18th, the ballots were by God here. We filled them out and I hand carried them to Fayetteville.
Our local elector isn't far from here. That's not the issue. I just don't want to run into a buzz room full of people not thinking, too busy counting shoulder to shoulder with in the middle of a plague. I really think this is chaos by design. They want to give this orange monster Georgia so he'll have a leg to stand on. So, see, if they miscounted 17,000 votes, and then that gives him more weight when and if this thing ever does go to court. His multiple lawsuits, if they ever do go to court. Right now, they seem to be getting shot down in the water.
Now, a correction. Okay, James in Illinois says, Bernie is said to be asking for the Department of Labor. Cool. Give it to him. Nope, there's no one better. Fine.
Yeah, and that seat's pretty safe. That air fairly safe.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how. Look, there's no such thing as safe.
Vermont.
There's no such thing as safe.
Put some right-wing toady in there, though. Do you?
We can check with Jeremy, but doesn't Vermont have a Republican governor now?
That's true, but he's really to the left as far as a Republican. He's as far left as you can go and still call yourself as a Republican.
If he appointed another Republican to the left, they'd still caucus with Mitch McConnell.
There you go. And I don't know. There may be state law that he would, tie his hands where he'd have to. Correct.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Vermont law is on that.
Yeah.
By the way, Suman says, that's a bad list. As an example, we had Janet Napolitano, a Democrat, as the governor of Arizona. Obama took her as the Homeland Secretary. It didn't take more than a minute for us to get a maggot governor. Then we got Doug Douchebag.
Or scratch that, reverse that. Some state laws is you have to replace with the like party.
Yeah, you replace whoever. Party with party.
Right, but some give the governor the freedom to put in whoever they want.
We were talking about that in the case of Kentucky.
So we need to dig down on that, right? Yeah, I remember. I remember. I'm back getting sick to death. We're kind of all over the map here, but that's okay. Of MSNBC, Casey Hunt, Megan was right. She's nothing but Chuck Todd with boobs sitting there and chewing us out daily, you know, for, you know,
for having for the temerity to actually have Democratic policies. Yeah.
Yeah. And for the way we lost, the way we bundled the election and lost that, how the Republicans gained seats in the House. Fuck. Give us this moment. Let us celebrate. We just got rid of the orange monster. But I mean, there hasn't been a president that has gotten beaten this badly since what, Reagan?
Yeah. Well, and by the way, I just had a note from Lee in New York.
Reagan beat whoever it was, Carter.
Carter and then Mondale. Well, that one was close. Yep. Reagan early
okay.
on.
Okay.
Mondale, not so much. But via WSB TV Channel 2 Atlanta, there's a link in a story there, how to vote, what does it say? How to vote by absentee ballot for Georgia's U.S. Senate runoff elections. And there's a link. Click here to request your ballot from the Secretary of State's website. So no faxing, no nothing. You can go straight to the Secretary of State's website and request an absentee ballot. There's a link there. Request an absentee ballot. First name, last name, date of birth. Georgia state ID or driver's license number. Please select a county. Continue.
I didn't know. I always went the fax route because it just seemed like the path of least resistance, but I will definitely look into that.
Yeah. You could do that tonight after the program. And yep. then on November 18th, they will send you your absentee ballot.
If they're not up to their armpits and counting votes, that is.
They still have to, the earliest they can send an absentee ballot out is the 18th.
That's correct.
But the earlier you get your request in, the nearer the front of the line you are.
So I'm going to have to look into this. I guess it would go to my county, because that's the one who gives you your ballots. Somehow they would route it to my county.
Right. It gets routed through the Georgia Secretary of State to your county.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting times we live in, Bob. I so appreciate this community. It helps me keep my sanity. I appreciate you and everybody. It's what keeps us one step ahead, and we usually are.
Yeah, we are. We're ahead of the curve. And Ralphs reminds me that Bernie was reelected in 2018, same as Manchin, so he's not up till 2024, and maybe he wouldn't run in 2024. James sends me the link. How is a Senate vacancy filled in Vermont? If a vacancy occurs in the office of U.S. Senator or U.S. Representative, the governor shall call a special election to fill the vacancy. His or her proclamation shall specify a day for the special election and a day for a special primary.
Oof.
If a vacancy occurs in the Senate, the governor shall appoint some person from the district wherein the vacancy occurs. That sounds like the state Senate, though.
Yep.
Let's see. Filling Ballotpedia, filling vacancies in the U.S. Senate. Gubernatorial appointment does not. Okay, that's not Vermont. Special election within a specified period of time. 6 months following the vacancy. So let's say we're 50-50. Okay, let's go ahead and win in Georgia. Okay, let's be hopeful. And we're 50-50, and Kamala Harris breaks all ties. But the Sunrise Movement and the Justice Democrats want Bernie to be the Secretary of Labor.
And then we're all chewing our nails again, right?
No. There's no nail biting. It's 50-49, and Mitch McConnell is the goddamn Senate Majority Leader again.
Can't let that happen. If we can pull off this Hail Mary, and basically it is, I can't see Georgia putting in two liberal. You know,
I can.
Democrats.
If everybody who voted for Biden votes for Ossoff and Warnock,
right.
You get two Democratic senators.
The margins are so tight, brother, and that's why I keep harping on this libertarian vote. How are they going to go?
hopefully they just go the hell home because they were only there as spoilers anyway. Anybody who voted Libertarian in the presidential, in either of those races, was voting to hurt the Republican, because remember the rule. Third parties always hurt the party with whom they are most ideologically similar. That's why Greens hurt Democrats, and that's why Libertarians hurt Republicans. But a warning comes from Jeremy in Vermont. The right wing is strong here. It's really just Chittenden, where the left has larger numbers, cities like Burlington. If Bernie gives his seat up, I'd say it's a 60-40 chance it flips, the 60 being with the Republicans.
Well, he would know, and thank him for enlightening us on that.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't know. Wow. Well, Bob, I'm going to get out of here, man. Let somebody else get in here. But before I go, like I said, I want to give a shout-out to a few of my friends, Nancy, Faith, and Andrew. Hung out with them Saturday night. That's what we need to do, you know, just hang out with your friends on Skype. It's safe that way. You're not going to, you know.
And you can't get the Rona that way.
You can't get the Rona, and there's so many good people, you know, in this
community. And everybody can keep each other's spirits up. And by the way, Jude wants you to know that you really got a handle on things. You're handling it well. Your list of stressors was a great action by writing on paper everything of concern within you. Both my hands are clapping for you. We process a little at a time. The key is to process and shift to a higher consciousness.
Well, Bob, I thought I was cracking up. I said, what is wrong with me? I couldn't sleep. I'm tachycardia. You know, I'm cracking up. You know, I'm on the edge. I thought I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. So I wrote down all the stressors. 2 pages long, man. 2 pages long, brother. I said, no, it's not me. No, not one person should not have to deal with all of this.
Oh, believe me, I so get it. Today was, you know, something $600 or $700 out the door, closer to $700, that was not, you know, a regularly budgeted bill, and so that means what I was going to spend on the regularly budgeted bills now become a matter of crossing my fingers and hoping for the best. Just because, you know, we do run on a pretty narrow margin here.
Well, let me do a PSA before I bounce. A little positive news. If anybody in the community has a mom in an assisted living center, before you make them a ward of the state, you can negotiate. I didn't know you could do that. Because I was about ready to make mom a ward of the state because she's running out of money. That's another stressor, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, Dad left her a lot of money, but these assisted living centers aren't cheap.
Oh, no, they can hoover up a lot of money.
Yeah, they can hoover up $300,000 in no time, man.
Kind of makes you wonder if you would have been better off, you know, having her at home and somebody just living 24/7. You'd
well,
be better off hiring.
That's a story for another.
I know.
Story for another day, Bob.
I know.
But
I get it.
To my point. They asked me, Steve, what does your mom have coming in? I said, well, she's got a Social Security check, and she's got assistance from Dad being a Korean War veteran. And they said, well, we'll keep her for that at priority in the future going forward. So that was a huge load off of me. So I don't have to move her. So that was my PSA, negotiate. It does not hurt the ask. Put it out there. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. Don't just let them dictate terms.
Right. And yeah, negotiate. If you got a loved one running out of money, discuss with the administrator. Tell them what the burn rate is. Tell them what they have, what your burn rate is, or your mother's or your loved one's burn rate is, and tell them what they have coming in. There's the competition for these assisted living centers evidently is fierce. Because I was shocked that they was willing to take this much of a hit. Now, I had to move her. Well, I didn't move her. They even moved her from a private to a semi-private room, but mom's so far gone now, she doesn't matter. So I don't have to make her important
decision. My heart goes out to you, Steve.
It's heartbreaking, brother. It's heartbreaking. And Duncan, my surrogate dad, he told me. He said, Steve, you're probably never going to see your mom again. You know? And he's right. And I've got to make peace with that. But again, I don't want to make this about me. This is a great show.
But you've got a right to damned well be furious with that shitbird in the White House.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did not have to be this way.
It did not have to be this way, and he is just piled on. You know, every day, just living without his orange ass is stressful enough, but he has quadrupled our stress level.
Once we are rid of his toxic hide, I bet you when you get up in the morning, that first good deep breath, that first good deep cleansing breath, Steve, is going to be 100 times more deep and cleansing. And by the way, Jude wants you to know, I have great connections relative to Medicare, Medicaid expertise, should you need help.
Oh, that's very kind, and I may have to reach out to her, but right now it looks like I'm good, you know, because they said they would keep her as what she's coming in, what little income she has coming in priority, and they took a hell of a hit. I was shocked that they was willing to do that. So that tells me that the competition must be fierce. Why would they do that? They say it's out of concern for my mom. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. I was just grateful. That took a huge load off.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
And by the way, Todd in South Carolina Stan says, you and Steve are on fire. And adds, don't let your state legislators choose their own electors. Implore that the governors veto when possible and when necessary.
Well, shout out to Todd, man.
Lou in PA says, Steve, do please help deliver to senators who are Democrats from the state of Georgia. AOC sent this out today, so perhaps you can help one such group. We're asking you to split a donation between the New Georgia Project, Fair Fight Action, Galeo, G-A-L-E-O, Women on the Rise, and the Asian American Advocacy Fund. All of these organizations left everything on the field for the general election, so they need your help to get things back up and running for January.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
As to Bernie, Barbara says, one of Bernie's supporters says he has zero chances of becoming Secretary of Labor due to his personality and not being able to work with the opposition. That's pretty much kind of believable. Jude says, that's super with the breathing, Steve. Breathe. Just keep breathing.
Yeah. That's my advice to everybody. Just write it down. You're not cracking up. It's all this being piled on us.
Yeah, or maybe just a sign on the mirror in the bathroom for the mornings. Yep. It ain't you, it's them.
It's right. And how Georgia became one of 50 states that's going to change the whole outcome of the world, literally. That's pretty daunting, too. That's some heavy lifting, but I'm willing to do it. Not me personally. I mean, I'm willing to do whatever I can. If I got a phone bank, whatever, I'm going to do it. There's too much at stake here.
Yeah, door knocking is not something you need to be doing.
No, can't do that. Not in the half-leg cast, Bob. It would be very difficult.
No, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
Yeah, they'd hear me coming. No.
Yeah, walk this way. If I had to walk like that, I wouldn't need the talcum powder.
I hear you, brother. Well, Bob, it's been a great conversation, man, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, Steve, anytime, my friend, anytime. You're always welcome here, and I hope you know that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Well, you have a good evening, and I'll listen in.
All right, you take care, Steve. Say hi to Miss Karen and pat the heads of little Twiggy and little Cletus.
Say hi to Miss Class and Ferg for me too, please, sir.
I certainly will. You take care. Be good.
All right, later,
stay safe.
Man.
Bye now. Our buddy Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy and pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator. Let's see, what are we at? 320. Or was it 290? I can't remember. But if we... no, it's 290. If we take it down another $90, we've got it... we've got a big chunk knocked out going into Thorn in the Side Thursday. So thank you very kindly to everyone who has jumped in this evening. What Barbara was talking about was another person close to Sanders, however, said there was zero chance that he would be appointed because of how he operates and works with other people. Sanders is known for his stubbornness and refused to concede the loss in the 2020 primaries for weeks after his path to the nomination was effectively closed. And that's from National Review, and National Review, of course, is a right-wing rag. And I would take that with a grain of salt. But I'm just trying to figure out how it would be smart to open up a Senate seat for months on end if we should happen to get to the point where we have a 50-50 split with Kamala Harris as a tiebreaker. I'm not giving up on this idea. I'm simply not. Because, well, I don't think we can allow ourselves to be that fatalistic. Brother Deacon Asa says, as far as gutting your own congressional caucuses, sometimes I get the feeling that the Sparkle Ponies cash checks from the right in order to sow dissension and chaos on our side. Well, we've certainly caught the Greens doing that. God Almighty, yes. That's not paranoia. That's happened. As to the Georgia ballot, James reminds us there are only two names on the ballot. The top two vote getters could have both been Republican. That's how runoffs work. Yeah, it could have been Loeffler versus Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins, and it speaks volumes that the top vote getter was actually Raphael Warnock. That's huge. Let's keep things running and head over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah. I just want to bring up the issue with the whole Pentagon thing.
Okay, I don't know if there's anything you can do to modify your sound, but you're really, really muffled and muddy.
Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay, hold on. Well, I'm going to move to a chop to the right. How about that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Immensely better.
Okay. So I just wanted to say, I wanted to talk about the whole Pentagon thing.
Yeah.
How he's replacing. The thing is.
You mean the Purge?
All these guys are. The Purge. All these guys are ex-military, but they're civilians.
Right.
The uniformed military isn't even going to touch this. They can't be politicized. And it's going to end like the final scene in Gladiator, where the emperor's going to ask for a sword, and the general says, stand your ground. And it's not going to go anywhere. Uniform forces, regardless of whatever, whether it be, you know, the military, National Guard, even the police department, Constitution, it's all going to go down to that. What do you think?
Well, first something has to happen.
Exactly. And I think a lot of this is political theater to get people thrown off with the whole Georgia races.
That's a possibility.
They want Trump gone. Because they want Trump gone just as badly as the Democrats. But they want Trump's voters. If they obviously drop Trump, you know, alienate those voters and split the Republican Party. So they can't just drop him. They got to ease him out and, you know, give the baby its bottle and soothe the baby and all that stuff, because he is so screwing up day-to-day processes in Washington. And he can say what he was going to say. It shakes things up. And he is.
And you remember last week I talked about my theory on the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
You know, still has the Affordable Care Act. It didn't go down the toilet. It just did enough, but they didn't destroy it completely.
No, and there are possible remedies out there. Biden the other day, yesterday maybe, said, "I promise you, we will do more to expand access to health care."
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how do you do that? And maybe I'm just not thinking far enough outside the box, but the thing for me is the first thing you do is you pass legislation that says going forward that the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act will be paid for 100% by the federal government, that it will apply to all states, and that the threshold for receiving the Medicaid expansion will be increased to 237% of the poverty level, because it's at like 137 now. And the Supreme Court struck down the Medicaid expansion back in 2012 on the principle that the federal government couldn't be mean and make the several states, they couldn't force them to take all that free money, because it wasn't entirely free. In the first 5 years, it was paid for 100%, and then afterward, it started dropping like to 95%, but it was guaranteed under the bill, under the act, never to drop below 90%. But it still, but the way it was structured, it still meant that there would be a federal incursion upon state budgets. So if you pay 100%, you're not infringing on states' rights to set their own budgets. And then if you make it 237% instead of 137%, you're bringing in a vast number of Americans who fall, for instance, between the cracks between subsidized care under the ACA to poor and Medicaid expansion to rich. And so you're insured that would see to it that you had insured about 27 million more Americans. But that part would have to be passed through the Congress, so that means you've got to have the House and you got to have the Senate. Plain and simple.
And I think, you know, honestly, Mitch McConnell is more likely to work with Biden than he with Obama.
Nah, he's not going to work with anybody.
Don't forget where Mitch comes from.
No. He's already declared that he, by God, is Mitch McConnell, and he will decide who Joe Biden gets to appoint to his cabinet.
Because again, you know, Mitch McConnell's from one of the most racist states there are, and the fact that he's been, you know, and they would rather vote for him than vote for, again, I don't want to identifying as the black guy and McGrath, but Mitch knows his constituency. And it's bad enough he's married to that, forgive my French, the China woman. So he's gotta prove that he's still a good old boy. And not one of these Washington insiders. So, you know, politicians play to their constituency.
Sure.
Yeah, he's a corporatist, and yeah, he will give out welfare for any corporation, but still, he needs votes. It's just that he could not go along with Obama. He's more likely to go along with Biden.
I disagree. He is not more likely to go along because, granted, he is an inveterate, unrepentant, unreconstructed racist, but this is about power politics. He despised Barack Obama for being black, but he despises Joe Biden for being a Democrat. and he despises Joe Biden for wanting to do things for the American people. Because that's not why he, Mitch McConnell, is there. He, Mitch McConnell, is there to do things for Mitch damn McConnell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I generally don't like to just wholesale disagree with members of the community, Kevin. But I can't help. But I can't help in this instance. Mitch McConnell is a cancer on the Republic. He is a disease.
Oh, yeah.
He is a disease from which at some point in time we must recover.
I absolutely agree with you.
As long as he's the majority leader, we are well and truly screwed. Even as minority leader, we would be
screwed,
but not as badly. But the problem, you know, the problem, of course, is that if he were back in the minority, he'd be screaming, "Oh, we got to have the filibuster! Oh, it's a Senate tradition." When in fact he's the one who went for the nuclear option and eliminated the filibuster for Supreme Court justices. Harry Reid had to eliminate the filibuster for lower court judges because otherwise Barack Obama would have never ever ever gotten a single federal judge appointed, which was Mitch McConnell's point. That was his purpose. Mm-hmm. And so then when Mitch McConnell got power back, he went ahead and eliminated the filibuster for Supreme Court justices, but it still exists in limited form for things that are non-budgetary. Okay? Things that can't be dealt with through reconciliation. And he would sit there and filibuster till hell froze over. To keep more people from getting health insurance, to reform policing or Justice Department policy and procedure, anything you can name.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I would love to see Mitch McConnell filibuster now, or in the next term of Senate. I would definitely watch it on C-SPAN, because with his state of health, I like to see him do it.
Well, but he doesn't have to. I mean, he just says filibuster. It's not like he has to stand up and talk until he runs out of air.
But I agree with you. You know, he is a downright, in spite of him, you know, his little China girl there. He is a downright racist. I have my theories because I met some good old boys in China who are married to Chinese women or involved in China, and they were some Mitch McConnell types too. I ran into a Chinese national
a few years back who told me that it's a thing now for American men to go to China and have entirely second families.
Oh, yeah.
And just bounce back and forth between their American family and their Chinese family.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, and that's part of the issues. Like when I was in China, like a lot of these guys from America, Australia, you know, or wherever, would get involved with these Chinese girls, you know, and just up and leave them pregnant. And, the thing is, this is in a country where there is a woman shortage. Don't forget, you know, because of the whole one-child policy, it kind of screwed up with demographics, where there is a woman shortage in China, especially in the countryside. You know? So, like, they really resent when foreigners get involved with their women. You know? So, you know, lucky thing, like, my wife and I could pass with brother and sister, so that wasn't a problem.
Understood.
But I think all this stuff is to distract us from the senatorial races in Georgia. It's political theater. They're going to drop Trump. You know, Trump.
Well, we have to, Kevin, we simply have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. The only people who can vote in the Georgia Senate runoffs are Georgia voters.
Are Georgia. Exactly. But, again, I know some of these people in Georgia, they're going to be, I'm just so tired of it about the politics. I don't want to do it. It's exhausting and all this stuff. And this is why, like, I have some relatives that live in Atlanta. In the Atlanta area, friends, I message them every day. Tell your friends. Get out there. Tell your friends. Get out there. You know, this is important. Yeah. Go out there and vote. I mean, I've been getting on them since.
That's the only answer, Kevin. That's the only answer. Get out and vote.
Yeah.
I hope I open a story at some point that says Michael Bloomberg has committed to spending $1 billion in Georgia.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is get people like a Bloomberg and Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry to put some Manchurian candidates out in some of these red states. And what I mean by Manchurian candidates, I mean, you go to the local universities and law schools and public policy universities and finance their careers. And let them play the right-wing game, and then when they get into Senate, flip them. You got what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what needs to be done for a long time.
Well, we're all just going to be shivering like a dog trying to pass a peach pit till January 20th, and that's just the bottom line. That's kind of what Steve was talking about, and I'll be here every night for 3 hours, and hopefully we can give each other some strength and camaraderie and collegiality and courage, and act accordingly.
Okay. Well, Bob, I'm going to step off, give this space to someone else, okay?
Sure thing. Goodness gracious. What time is it there, Kevin?
I don't even know, but my wife walked out and she gave me a look.
Oh, dude, if you got a look and you're still on the phone with me, run.
Well, I didn't want to hang up, man, but yeah, because I had one of those nights. I woke up. Went to the men's room, and I'm like, I can't go back to sleep. And I just started listening. And I said, let me call him. Like, let me run. Okay.
All right. For God's sake, save yourself. See you, Kevin.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Kevin calling from South Africa. Two families, says Lee in New York. I have enough trouble with one set of in-laws. Ba-dum-bum. You'll be here all week. Try the veal. Don't try the veal. Don't forget to tip your server. And so, cowbell. Now, we had the religious weirdery. Did we get that all cleared out? Pretty much, it looks like. We missed one. Missed one. Franklin Graham. That pustulant bag of bile and sin has declared that Joe Biden simply cannot be president because of what it'll mean to have Joe Biden being all presidenty and stuff. Right? Sure.
Some displaced persons because of in the Middle East and what you've been doing there, ministering. It's much easier when the government sees you as an ally as opposed to an opponent.
No question. And we've been blessed up to this point, Tony, with having administrations that have been supportive of Christian ministries. The Obama administration no question there were problems there. You had a lot of activists in the White House that wanted to push the gay lesbian agenda, and they targeted businesses, you know, to shut them down. The florists, bakers, and people like that who refused to participate in a gay wedding. And I think if the Democratic Party wins again, they'll be right back with that agenda, and they'll be looking for businesses and ministries to target and to shut them out of business or even put them in jail. Who knows? But
they say Satan is the father of lies, but nobody's ever seen him. But lots of people have seen Franklin Graham, and Franklin Graham is, in fact, the father of lies. No one in the Obama administration, from Obama on down, ever tried to shut down a Christian ministry for being hateful to gay to the LGBTQQIA community. No one, ever. But in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains, Franklin Graham thinks that Joe Biden is going to try to make our churches all gay lesbian. The gay lesbian agenda. Is gay lesbian, is that a redundancy? Or is that something I don't understand? And they're going to put poor Franklin Graham in jail. It never freaking ends with these sick, perverted bastards. Ever. And so that's it. And while we're at it, remember Josh Bernstein? Yeah, the guy who's been calling for various and sundry people to be murdered by the Religion of Peace Christian right. Yeah. Well, he kind of got deplatformed. Josh Bernstein did. But he's still out there, and I guess he's riding on the back of the Nutramedical report and Bill Deagle. Jesus.
I think we need drastic, and I mean drastic measures in order to change what's going on. The first thing I would do if I was President Trump is I would call the Insurrection Act in immediately. Right now. The first thing you do is you quell all violence and you stop all violence with the military or the National Guard. The second thing you do is you declare martial law in the country right now and you send in armed...
Marshals? Armed marshals? Because it's martial law. Oh, Jesus, this fool.
Military and National Guard folks into every single one of these swing states where they are counting ballots. And you force them to stop counting ballots right then and there. And if not, they are taken away by the military and arrested.
So the military is going to arrest people for counting ballots, which is a legal process that they have to perform under the various states' constitutions. Old Josh Bernstein doesn't think much of them states' rights when he thinks those states' rights aren't inuring to his benefit, does he?
Here's the reason why. Because we've already seen that judges' court orders are being denied and still not allowed to have access into these counting areas.
That's not true.
I saw Pam Bondi from Florida. She actually came on news this morning and said that. Please continue.
Well, Pam Bondi's a liar. And I'm pretty sure she didn't say it. Well, whatever she said, it was not reflective of, well, you know, facts.
Yeah. And then the next thing we do is we end up having a situation where we do an immediate injunction to the Supreme Court. Thank God we have Amy Coney Barrett on the court. and we make a ruling that
we,
any vote...
We, Josh Bernstein and that mouse in his pocket, we...
That has been counted after the close of the polls on election night in that respective state. Every vote that was counted after the polls closed is null and void, 100%.
Right.
And then what you do, it's very simple at this point, you either do one of two things. You either count the votes that you already have in to that point and determine your winner, or you get rid of the entire election 100%, every state, you do a complete redo, and you have the election on January 3rd.
You know, it's funny how they weren't saying that back when the Russians were actually meddling in our elections. No doubt. I mean, it was plain as the nose on the top of Josh Bernstein's weird little head. But now, what? Wait, real, actual, legal voters are voting, and they're not voting for Trump. This is unacceptable. At least he didn't call for anybody to be hanged or chopped into chutney or ceviche. I guess we take our little victories where we can find them. Jesus, these people. I know. Jude says, it feels unsettling. A dominionist McCarthyism. Oh, we're... if they ever fully get their way, this country is so screwed. I mean, consider the fact, and granted, this is a few days old, but right before the election, now we've had lots of clips from Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. You remember him. He's the one who was just in the nick of time able to save his daughters from being converted to softball-playing short-haired, big-bottomed lesbians. Because, you know, softball. The guy's as mad as a hatter and is vicious and full and is a hate monger. In the name of Jesus, of course. And in the past, he's stood outside of Hillary Clinton's home, barking and hooting and grunting and growling and shrieking and screaming and carrying on for her to be arrested and tried and he's called for Barack Obama to be executed, and somehow or another has managed to not see the inside of a jail. Yeah. The guy's a stone cold racist. So guess who decided to come out and have a little talk with him. It was Halloween Saturday, when Dave Daubenmeyer, coach, it took his It's All Tax-Free camera crew with him and went to Bill Barr, the prosecution's house. Yes, that's right. Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. And son of a gun, Bill Barr actually stepped out of his home, went out, put his arm around Dave Daubenmeyer, LARPed on him, smollocked on him, no mask. They're both older, but, you know, what pandemic? And then Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr prayed. With Dave Daubenmeyer. I wish I was kidding. The damnedest thing. Now, we've hardly seen anything from Bill Pepe the Frog Barr of late. But by God, he could come out of his spider hole to speak in tongues or whatever. with a hate-mongering freak who's called for members of the government to actually be executed. It's a hell of a thing. Now, while Bill Barr was praying, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer had his hand up in the air like he was, trying to block a shot or something. And was videoing Bill Barr praying while somebody else was videoing Bill Barr praying from over Bill Barr's left shoulder. The Salt and Light Brigade boots on the ground at U.S. Attorney Bill Barr's home. And for some odd reason, damn thing won't play. Curious, huh? But there's no seam between these freaks. You can't tell where one grift ends and the next grift begins. Barbara says, please, Bob, church is forced to have LGBTQ members? Hell, we know who's playing the piano and directing the choir, regardless of what they say. It's the gays and women pouring all that money into the collection plate. There's so much truth in that, Barbara. I think about our dear friend Peter Godbold down in the Tallahassee area. He gave of his time every weekend to make sure that all the mics and the sound system and everything worked at the little church he attended. But they were cool with it, especially the free part. As long as he didn't say anything about being, homosexual. Yeah. That's so true. Well said. Well said, Barbara. Meanwhile, Jeremy in Vermont says, I just thought I'd point out that Mike and Karen Pence may be practicing perfectly normal heterosexual behaviors right now, right this very minute. I'll go now. Thanks. Well, Jeremy, I know. Well, let's see. That's dinner in the Mountain Standard Time Zone. And yeah, maybe Joy in Ann Arbor got a little ways into breakfast before she got to the 2 hours and 22 minutes mark of the program. I can only hope. Lee points out, saving democracy, martial law, military taking charge, no votes counted after polls close because in-person votes are not counted until the polls close. Lee observes, and they say this in public. Yeah, they're proud of it, Lee. They're telling us what they want. And for all the times that people said, oh, Bob, why do you play that Dave Dobenmeyer guy? The Attorney General of the United States came out and LARPed and smollocked and grabulated and lollygagged and sprayed and spewed and hooted and prayed in tongues and God only knows what with that guy because he's a loyal maggot. Yeah. Jesus. And I'll bet Joey thought that I wasn't going to get to it, but it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you just have to, you gotta put some things, you gotta rearrange some things and schedule some things. And so Joey wrote, Bob! As I mentioned yesterday, upon crashing my wife's dinner party Saturday, I looked across the street from the restaurant in Medina, Ohio, and saw a home with two huge Biden-Harris signs and a smaller one stating Trump for prison. Yes, I wanted to party with those people so much the hell I just drove over to their home, knocked on the door with my Trump mask fitting perfectly. Jeffrey was still hiding in the back seat of the car because he was afraid my wife might see him from across the street. Mrs. Joey doesn't think much of Jeffrey. Sometimes, Joey, I think you'd be better off with an invisible 6-foot-tall rabbit, but, well, Elwood P. Dowd's already got that one nailed down. I knocked on the door, not sure what to expect, but nobody answered, and after a few minutes, I almost left, but not before turning around, seeing Jeffrey sticking his head out of the window. Jeffrey yelled, "You're supposed to be, Jeffrey," I yelled, "you're supposed to be hiding in the back seat." Jeffrey answered, "I'm far more concerned with the maggot species and the deadly hollowback snakes that once again voted for Trump, again, than I am the harmless diminutive one that is your wife. I stand 17 feet, 6 inches, at least in my mind, and I'm not concerned with the lovely Cindy, who stands all of 5'2", just the same as Kamala." Just then, Jeffrey stood tall and could see over the garage and said, "I see a lovely lady burning some leaves in her backyard." "Well, thank you, Jeffrey." I then ran around the garage and spotted the woman about 50 yards away, just as Jeffrey mentioned, managing a small fire in the backyard. So I jogged out to the fire, and she walked towards me with no apparent fear, almost instinctively realizing I was a friendly. I waved and hollered hello and just immediately put my Trump mask on, and she laughed hysterically. We introduced ourselves and began talking like we'd known each other for years. Her name was Paulette, and we discussed everything from Letitia James to the bells of Paris ringing upon hearing the news that Trump was gone. "What's that, Jeffrey?" Jeffrey pointed out. "Notice that Paris was ringing her bells, not for Biden being officially elected, but for Don being gone." "Good point, Jeffrey." Just then, the 80 years young Paulette told me the story of how her mother sat a 4-year-old Paulette in front of a Philco radio in August of 44 and listened to the bells of Paris ring on the radio after the liberation of Paris during World War II. It is said, by the way, I'll add editorially, that Ernest Hemingway, in complete disobedience of all orders, you know, because everybody was supposed to let Charles de Gaulle lead the French, his Free French, in first, it is said that Ernest Hemingway snuck in and liberated the Ritz Bar in Paris ahead of de Gaulle. But anyway, this meant so much to Paulette and her mother because Paulette's father was serving in Saint-Malo, a port city in France, about 415 kilometers, 250 miles from Paris, in which the German Nazis had a stronghold. Just days before the liberation of Paris, Paulette's mother had received a telegram from her father that Saint-Malo had been liberated. At this point, with tears running down both our faces, I told her of my mother, who also received handwritten letters from her father, my grandfather, who was stationed in the South Pacific during World War II. We wanted to give each other a hug, but realized thanks to the orange asshole, it would not be a good idea. I told Paulette, "I'll be back for that hug someday in the future." And people ask me why I canvass and knock on doors. There's your answer. I went to that home thinking I would only be there for a few minutes, have a good laugh with the occupants of that home, and be on my way. At this point, I would like to wish my father a happy Veterans Day, as my father served in the Navy during the Korean conflict on a Navy cutter in South America and Antarctica. Dad, you're my hero, and you have been a great dad. Thank you, and happy Veterans Day. Bob, please ring the cowbell for all the veterans this evening. Yes. Yes, Joey. Because of my muscular dystrophy, I could not be a veteran, and the Air Force officially rejected me in April of 85. So Jeffrey and I are headed to Georgia, most likely in Cobb County, as I have my mind on Marietta. I'll go to the Big Chicken and turn right. I'm sure I'll be encouraged not to go by my family because of the corona, but for me, this will be my Normandy and Omaha Beach, as I'll take my chances with the virus. What the hell? As you read last night, Bob, in Ohio, the COVID rate is now 10%, and it might just be as dangerous to stay home as to go to Georgia. Because if we do not take this Senate back right now, democracy will be over in this country, or whatever attempts we've made at it, I added editorially. And what's the point of living in a fascist country? What's that, Jeffrey? Jeffrey says, "If anybody in Georgia wants to walk with Joey, let us know." Jeffrey, G-E-O-F-F-E-R-Y, not quite the traditional spelling, G-E-O-F-F-E-R-Y, the giraffe, G-I-R-A-F-F-E, 724. At gmail.com. Jeffrey is spelled Geoffrey, G-E-O-F-F-E-R-Y. Geoffrey the Giraffe 724 at gmail.com. Thank you, Jeffrey. That includes Reggie and Decatur, Mike and Molly and Marietta, and Steve. And where the hell is Steve anyway? Up in the foothills of the North Georgia mountains. As I walked back to my car initially, I did not see Jeffrey and became concerned. Did my wife come over from the restaurant and confiscate him? Oh, wait a minute. There was Jeffrey in Paulette's front yard over by the Trump for Jail sign. Just a dancing and a singing, his huge heart out. The song went like this. Dingbat Don, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. Ring those bells, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. This has been Joey's Journal for Veterans Day, the 11th day of the 11th month, November 2020, with Giraffrey standing tall and saluting our veterans. Well, that's just lovely. Just lovely, Joey. And speaking of song lyrics, I ran across one earlier today. Sorry about the singing, but, you know, hell, we're $290 from our fundraising goal. That means I get to sing. You may find yourself across the street from a crematorium. And you may find yourself next door to a dildo store. And you may find yourself at a press conference. And you may find yourself in front of a landscaping business. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here? Letting the days go by, letting the water hold me up. Yeah, right. Same as it ever was? No. Not at all. Man. So that's, breathe this in, says Jude, and sends me a lovely photograph of the sunset out there in the great Northwest. From my front door, Monday, 7:10 a.m., just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful ball of fire in the sky. Gorgeous golds and reds. I wonder maybe if our pal Mike in Cascadia may have seen that. Or Jimmy. And one of my buddies here left today. He's from Washington State and has sojourned among us for several years and has headed home to his native ground in Washington. Did I say sunset? It's sunrise. Sorry about that, Jude. Yeah, I can just see maybe the sun beginning to peek up above the rooftops. And I guess that's Mount Rainier in the background. Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Huh. So, the lines are open if you've got anything you'd like to get off of your chest or be out of your out from under your bonnet, burr out from under your saddle, whatever. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. And so oddly enough, after pointing out all of these religious maniacs who refused to accept the legal results of the election. Imagine my surprise when I saw a story that Robert Jeffress, the pastor of the mega church that is the First Baptist Church of Dallas, and a die-hard maggot, no less, Robert Jeffress has called on his congregation, and no kidding, and I'm pretty sure I read this right. He's called on his congregation to actually accept the results of the election and to accept that Joseph R. Biden is going to be the next president of the United States. About fell out of my chair. Because, I mean, he goes on Fox and runs his mouth and whatnot. But he really, really did. Breaking news that Ron Klain, K-L-A-I-N, Ron Klain will be chief of staff in the Biden White House. He and Joe have been tight for decades. Hopefully, there won't be too many complaints of a lack of ideological purity. You got to have somebody for chief of staff that you can trust. But the maggots are dangerous. Consider Mark Anthony Ulsaker. Mark Anthony Ulsaker is 50 years old, and he's been charged with one count of second-degree assault, one count of fourth-degree assault of a peace officer, and one count of threats of violence, as reported by the Twin Cities Pioneer Press. Several people grabbed their phones and dialed 911 when they saw the man who turned out to be allegedly Mr. Mark Anthony Ulsaker. Mark Anthony, huh? They saw him going after two elderly people with a golf club. According to witnesses, this maggot had walked up behind an 80-year-old man and a 78-year-old woman and started swinging the golf club at their heads. He swung so hard he broke the golf club. And then he started punching the 80-year-old man in the head. And brave maggot that he is, he then got in his truck and ran. Yeah, this was this past Sunday. And the reason he did it was because he didn't like the couple's sign. And he saw the sign and flipped them off and then parked his truck, kicked the sign over, and started swinging the golf club at the woman. He hit her chair and then pushed it over with her in it. Yeah, these are the people who are making America great again, mind you. These are Donald Trump's shock troops. This is classic textbook fascist behavior. And how is it that he only gets charged with second-degree assault? How in the hell is that not assault with a deadly weapon? Because I can assure you, having wielded a few of them, but not at anyone, that a golf club is a deadly damned weapon. From putter to 5-iron to 3-iron to 5-wood to driver, they are all deadly weapons. That is why they are called clubs. Goes without saying that Mark Anthony Ulsaker is a white guy, because we would be talking about someone dead had it been a black guy swinging a golf club at someone. Yeah, And yes, Jude tells me in the photo that is Mount Rainier. And the surreal colors of that powerful visual. Gorgeous, gorgeous, Jude. So that's Minnesota. Let's run down to Texas, where the Secret Service is apparently on the job. Because a video has been making the rounds of a teenager brandishing firearms and calling for other support, other maggots to get together. And it's a quote from the video, assassinate Joe Biden. The Secret Service, meanwhile, will not confirm that they're investigating. And the Crosby Independent School District won't comment on the matter. Parent Ashley Grantham said, as to the question of whether he should be allowed back into school at Crosby High School, said, well, it's not like he threatened any students or anything like that. I think he was just all talk. Firearms. Video. Calling for people to get together and kill Joe Biden. Hey, he's just all talk. Well, let's treat it that way, Ashley. Because, heck, what could possibly go wrong? And, of course, we all know about my filthy morning habit. Agnes and I wake up about 6 o'clock every morning, and I toddle off to the kitchen to make our first coffees of the day. And we watch Morning Joe, my filthy morning habit. And one of the contributors there is, of course, former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill, who spent her time more or less being Republican light, you know, big friend of Cole, that kind of stuff, and got her ass handed to her by Josh Hawley. Because, again, when given a choice between a Republican and a Republican light, a Republican will choose a Republican. But nonetheless, she comes on Morning Joe and offers her commentary and talks about, you know, the ins and outs of the United States Senate and the personalities involved there. And she's far enough removed from it now. She doesn't have to be friendly and collegial. And she's been more than critical of Nitwit Nero, as would anyone with two living brain cells to rub together. And so it was that it was snowing in Utah earlier today when a guy was speeding down the highway and got pulled over by the cops. George William Stahl was running it up to 130 miles an hour and stopped after the highway patrol spiked his tires. He patiently explained to the local constabulary that he was tripping his brains out on acid, and that he'd also, just like the occupant of 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza, he'd also consumed some Adderall, and he drank him some beer, and then said to the cops, and this is a quote from the criminal complaint, stated that he was on his way to Missouri to kill Claire McCaskill if she wasn't dead already. And then the report goes on to say that he made several real threats to Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill and stated that he was on his way to Missouri to kill her several times. Now, this is the kind of bad grammar and bad writing you often get in police complaints, because I don't think that the cop meant to say that he was going to try to kill Claire McCaskill several times, but that he said several times that he was on his way to Missouri to kill Claire McCaskill. But, well, most police agencies don't want any cops with an IQ over, like, you know, 100. So you're going to have that. But, you know, just another America-loving, patriotic, peace-loving maggot who wants to assassinate people who are critical of his God Emperor. Sure. Of course. Because, you know, MAGA, y'all. Right? Right. And the poor little maggots are just feeling so terribly, terribly victimized. Yeah. It's heartbreaking. The maggot campaign keeps trying to find somebody, anybody, who can make a credible allegation that something went squirrely inside any or any one of the several elections that they're hell-bent on challenging. And, you know, so far he's lost every lawsuit. In point of fact, one lawyer for Nitwit Nero in Montgomery County, or in Pennsylvania, one Jonathan S. Goldstein, Esquire, got sort of painted into a corner when the judge asked him if the maggot campaign was alleging fraud. At which point, somehow, this noble pleader suddenly began feeling a little bit squishy about that word because, well, Jonathan S. Goldstein would kind of like to hang on to his law license. And the court says, I understand. I'm asking you a specific question, and I'm looking for a specific answer. Are you claiming that there is any fraud in connection with these 592 disputed ballots? Mr. Goldstein, to my knowledge at present, no. Because previously he said, are you alleging fraud? The judge said, are you alleging fraud? And Jonathan Goldstein said, Your Honor, accusing people of fraud's a pretty big step, and it is rare that I call somebody a liar, and I'm not calling the Board of Elections or the DNC or anybody else involved in this a liar. That's when the judge said, I'm asking you a specific question. I'm looking for a specific answer. Are you claiming that there's any fraud in connection with these 592 disputed ballots? Because, you know, fraud must be pled with specificity. That means you can't just say fraud, you know, like Nitwit Nero does. And lawyer Goldstein says, to my knowledge at present, no. Are you claiming there's any undue or improper influence upon the elector with respect to these 592 ballots? Goldstein, again, thinking about how much he likes being a lawyer, said, to my knowledge, to my present, to my knowledge at present, no. So, you know, when the rubber meets the road, these lawyers that are being hired who thought, hey, look, that looks like some easy money. I mean, we're going to lose anyway. I'll just get up. It's not so easy after all. And so we wind up with things like this. Case reported by the Washington Post in which an affiant, that is, someone who has signed an affidavit, an affiant said, paragraph 12, as I attempted to challenge this process, I was harassed by Democrat challengers. I was told, Go back to the suburbs, Karen, and other harassing statements. The Democrat challengers would say things like, do you feel safe with this woman near you? And is this Karen bothering you? I believe this was designed to intimidate me and obstruct me from observing and challenging. Check me, but I think that's pretty much peak snowflake. And it was pretty much legal too. These were poll watchers, and there's and you can frankly, you can verbally abuse a poll watcher, which is different from a poll worker or a poll challenger. A poll challenger is a trained individual. On the other hand, random people can't just give shit to a voter. She had just showed up to watch the Trump to watch for the Trump campaign. She was neither a voter nor a challenger. Then there, according to the Washington Post, there's the story of the poll watcher who said there was a problem with the public address system. It was too loud. It was so loud. That was clearly voter suppression, the loud public address system. And another one who said, I can estimate that at least 80% of military ballots I saw were straight ticket Democrat or simply had Joe Biden's name filled in on them. I had always been told that military people tended to be conservative, so this stuck out to me. Yeah, are you saying there's any fraud? That's a mighty strong word, Your Honor. Yeah. Interestingly, through the polling, it does appear that active duty military, having been called suckers and losers, broke for Biden this time through. While veterans, whose day this is, tended to vote for Nitwit Nero. Then up in Michigan, you know how it is with those union people, one GOP poll watcher said, I felt intimidated by union people who were staring at me. You know, they're looking at me complaint was something that, I mean, kids beginning adolescence, they're looking at me. And then it passes after a while. But not among the maggots. And then there was Jacqueline Zaplitny in Michigan. She filed a complaint and said that somebody was wearing Black Lives Matter gear. That was her voter fraud example. And that's why every ballot in the state of Michigan needs to be recounted. These are real, and anyone who cares about transparency and the integrity of the system should want this to proceed to the discovery phase. That was Kaylee Maganini. Hopefully, soon, futurely, unemployable. Going back to the guy in Utah, Matt in San Francisco, says, friends don't let friends drop acid, eat Adderall, drink beer, and drive. Yeah, and guns and games with guns and knives are not advisable either, Matt. Good advice. Good advice. Jeremy sends this along. Twitter has announced that Nitwit Nero will actually become subject to Twitter's rules of conduct if when he is no longer president, because he's not going to be deemed newsworthy anymore. And let the Damn, that's gorgeous, Mike. Wow, you still got fall colors out there. What a gold, what a red. Mike in Cascadia says, Bob, here's my view eastwards to the rising sun. Mount Baker, the most glaciated mountain in the lower 48, is only 25 miles east of here. The indigenous name for Mount Baker was Komokulshan, the Great White Watcher. Komokulshan is obscured by Squalicum Mountain, just east of us, and the forested ridge in this view. Occasionally, the shadow of Komokulshan is projected onto the morning clouds, and the effect we see is a giant shaft of black on the illuminated morning clouds. From this perch, my Democratic state representative won her race 96-4. My Democratic state senator won 76-24. My governor, Jay Inslee, won 60-40. Bob, I'm in a sea of blue, a blue, blue fortress. Oh, I'm envious. Not just of the beauty, but of the sanity. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and Darlene sent this along, breaking news from a little bit ago. From the Huffington Post, Jeffrey Toobin fired from the New Yorker for exposing himself on Zoom call. After 27 years as a staff writer at the New Yorker, Toobin tweeted that he will always love the magazine. Notice he didn't say the New Yorker. He said the magazine, you know, the one that was folded open and folded out on the floor there when, oh, never mind. I have a feeling the word Toobin as a verb has already entered our lexicon. And Nitwit Nero, in a fundraising email, the grift that he's running to get money for 2024, if he lives that long. David Korn reporting, in his latest fundraising email, Donald Trump takes credit for the Pfizer vaccine while accusing Pfizer of withholding news of it to hurt his election chances. It didn't. And Trump accuses the left of stealing the election from him. It's all coming together, David Korn says. Pfizer and the others probably didn't have the courage to make the historic announcement before November 3rd because they hoped it would keep me from winning big. The president of Pfizer only found out about this, I think, this past Sunday. On the other hand, the CEO of Pfizer has sold millions of shares of Pfizer stock after it shot up in the aftermath of the positive news about the vaccine that's not really that positive. Jesus. Now, let's see here. Let me check in real quick over on the stress line.
Okay, that's us, okay?
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, sweetie pie, it's Shorty in L.A.
Hey, Shorty, how are you, dear?
You would not believe who I have on the phone.
Who's that?
I have James Warren. His father was the James Warren and wrote the book Freeman Field Mutiny about what happened to the Tuskegee Airmen. He's on the line right now. You want to see something, Jimbo?
Wow. Glad to talk to you. Good evening.
Jim?
Yeah. I got a mask on, so I'm kind of talking muffled.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Yeah, my dad was one of the 101 airmen arrested at Freeman Field for protesting segregated conditions in the military.
What year was that?
That was April 5th, 1945.
Wow.
And eventually they were released from arrest 26th of April 45 by Harry Truman.
I was going to say, were their actions what helped drive Harry Truman to integrate the military?
Yes, it was.
Awesome.
Keep going, Jimbo. Tell them about the Officers Club.
Much respect to your father.
Yes, all of those guys faced the ultimate penalty for violating Article 64 of the War Act. Penalty was death.
Jesus.
Yep. Insubordination.
And so,
they also tried to add on mutiny, which gave the name to the action that they had as called the Mutiny at Freeman Field.
Amazing. And time is short, but tell us the name of your book so people can go and find it.
It's called The Tuskegee Airmen Mutiny at Freeman Field.
And can folks
find it? James. It's available. It's available on my website called Tuskegee.com. It's available through Amazon. Or they can email me at Modura, M-O-D-U-R-A, 66, at yahoo.com.
And when did you write it?
No, his father.
My father wrote it in 1995.
Okay, your father wrote it. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Amazingly, at their convention, the Tuskegee Airmen Convention in August of 1995, the Department of the Air Force corrected all of the records of those who wanted them corrected by removing the letter of reprimand, which General Hunter had placed in their records because of the incident at Freeman Field.
What a history.
I think they got promoted. I think your dad got finally promoted, right, Jimbo?
He retired as a lieutenant colonel. Now, there is a suspicion that everybody who was involved in that incident never was promoted beyond lieutenant colonel.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And surprisingly, a lot of people don't know this, but Chappie James, the first four-star general of the Air Force, was a part of that, but he was kept out. He was an intelligence officer, so he actually was kept out of the main fray.
So he was protected.
Chappie James was involved. Yes.
So did your father?
It's a very interesting story.
Without a doubt. Let me ask you though. Up until the time they corrected the record, what was your father's attitude toward it? Was he bitter about it?
Oh, they were bitter, but they went on and those that stayed in the military, performed their duties as Air Force officers, they were glad that the Air Force integrated. In fact, it was the first service to integrate. That was a bitter remark. In fact, some of the men who were involved in the Freeman Field requested that the letter of reprimand be left on their record as a badge of courage.
Wow.
But they were finally vindicated for that incident 50 years after it occurred, 9 years before Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King.
That's profound. I had heard of the incident in the past, but I did not know the particulars. And would you say that Would you say that it took some courage for Harry Truman to do what he did?
Well, I think Harry Truman was under pressure and facing reality that the United States could no longer afford to have a separate armed forces, and that the combat record that the 332nd built up in Europe and the dissension that the 477th caused in 1945 was convincing that they had to integrate the one military force. No black and white, no separate units. They all had to be integrated.
How long did your father remain in the Air Force?
He was in the Air Force until 1978.
So he was there as it transitioned from the U.S. Army Air Corps to the United States Air Force.
No, he was discharged in 1946, and then he got recalled to the Air Force in 1952 for the Korean War. And he stayed in from there until 1978.
So in addition to flying, in the Second World War, he flew what, P-51s or P-47s?
No, he flew B-26s.
Oh, okay.
In World War II. But the 477th never got to go to combat. 3 weeks before they were to be commissioned in combat and certified combat ready, the war ended. That's why you don't hear a whole lot about them.
I apologize for my ignorance. When I think about the Tuskegee Airmen, I tend to think about fighter pilots. I didn't know there were bomber crews.
Yes, it was a bomber crew. The 477th made up of the 616th, the 617th, 618th, and 619th bomber squadron.
And so
it finally ended up as a 477 composite group. And then finally, when they were disorganized or retired, they retired as the 99th fighter group with the 332nd fighter group. So they went back to the old designation, but they had bombers and fighters.
So did he transition to jets in Korea?
No, he flew B-26 Marauders in Korea.
Okay.
He was a navigator. And then after he got out of Korea, he went to Vietnam. He was a navigator for electronic warfare unit. And matter of fact, he was the first navigator on the first airplane into North Vietnam to pick up the POWs that were returned to the United States.
Oh my, folks like McCain and Jeremiah Denton and the like?
Yes. In fact, he had a picture of him hanging in the Pentagon now, of him lighting a cigarette with then Colonel Fred Cherry, who he had known for a long time before he was shot down. But that hangs in the Pentagon, that picture.
That's quite
an
honor.
The thing is, Bob, and Horn family, they purposely kept these Tuskegee Airmen out of the war and other things, you know, and they wouldn't let them in the officers' club and all other kind of things, and that's why they wanted to be able to do what others did. And that's all, that whole incident to me, James, is that it's what kept them out too. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, the whole incident started was that they were refused entrance into Officers Club number 2 at Freeman Field. But they had known about that prior to going to Freeman Field. It actually was the last contingent that left Godman Field in Kentucky and transferred up to Freeman Field. And they planned to go in small groups to try to enter the club. And each time they would try to enter the club, they were met with resistance and gave their names and serial number and were placed under arrest in quarters. As a matter of fact, from April 5th until the 7th, there were 162 officers placed in arrest under quarters because they tried to enter the officers' club. And these were black pilots, and the officers' club was white. In fact, Colonel Selway, who was the commander at that time, took the NCO club from the NCOs and turned it into an officers' club. And, of course, the black officers knew what time that was and called it out to Tom's cabin and refused to use it.
Amazing. Just... this country had to be dragged kicking and screaming, even with regard to its military, to some semblance of equality.
The shame of it all is that we have a chapter here in Chicago called the Chicago Dodo Chapter. And the reason for that is that there's a bird in Australia called a dodo that has wings but can't fly. And, of course, it was exterminated. But that's the way they felt. You know, when they come back from combat, they learn to fly single-engine aircraft, multi-engine aircraft. They know how to fix them and everything else. And they were not given jobs with any of the commercial airlines simply because of their color.
How long did that persist?
Hey, Jim, who was it that finally gave them their promotion? Was it Carter? Clinton?
Beg pardon?
Who was it that finally gave them their just due? Was it President Clinton? President Clinton?
Yeah, 95. That would have been Clinton.
That gave them jobs with the airlines?
No, they gave them their rank. Then they get their recognition from President Clinton finally?
In 1995, was Clinton president then?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it was the Department of Air Force collected their records and recognized them. And that was the year that HBO introduced their movie Tuskegee Airmen, which actually put them on the map. And then a lot of other people started writing books about the Tuskegee Airmen. Because before that, there were only about three books out. There was The Lonely Eagles and The Tuskegee Airmen and Black Wings.
Hey, Jimbo, I'm glad your dad wrote that book. And for the Horn family, you never know who's listening, huh?
You never know. That's fast. Shorty, thanks for making this happen. I appreciate it.
Anytime. I love you, Jimbo. You be safe on the road, okay, dude?
Hey, okay. Jim, thank you. Thank you for taking time to share your father's story with us.
My pleasure.
Y'all take care, Shorty.
Happy Jim. Veterans Day. Armistice Day.
Happy Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day.
And Jim's army,
retired captain.
Yeah. I love you, babe.
Well, thank you for everything you've done, Jim. Thank you very kindly.
And thanks for everything you did for my dad, too, dude, okay?
Okay.
I love you, man.
I miss you, too.
Y'all take care.
Yeah, my dad wrote a book.
Shorty, this was a real treat. Thank you. Thank you, Shorty, and thank you, Jim.
Okay, anytime.
Good evening.
All
right. Wow. It's amazing the little surprises that can happen on this program. Thank you very kindly, Shorty and Jim. And Tuskegee.com will get you to where you can purchase the book. And so we're pretty close to done with this Veterans Day broadcast. We've run over a little bit. As usual, this is one of those. There are evenings where I sit down behind the microphone and I feel like crap. And this has been a genuinely craptastic day. But as usual, when I get behind the microphone, this community makes everything oh so much better. So I thank you all. On the way out the door, Sparky asked me to play this, and I also saw it when John Fox drew my attention to it. I never cease to be amazed by the brilliance of the wit and satire and comedy that comes from our friends up over down under. And this in particular, it's called Bye Bye Donnie. Enjoy.
Bye-bye, Donnie, your time is up, so you can take your lies and you can go get fucked. The people spoke and they spoke by mail, so pack your shit, cause it's time to bail. Sorry, buddy, but you lost it, mate, and like everything true, you'll call it fake. But who'd have thought you'd be such a wussy when America grabbed you by the pussy and threw you out after just one term, cause they finally realized that you're a germ. And COVID's not the only thing you spread, like lies, fear, hate, confusion, and dread. And you told your own voters not to vote by mail in a global pandemic, and that was your fail. So shut up, Donnie, and practice what you preach. Have some dignity and give your concession speech. Just tell everyone it's a conspiracy. Blame your fall on American democracy. Make up excuses and a million reasons from your shitty press conference at the Four Seasons. Get out there and go tell more lies. Do what you do best and propagandize. No one's expecting you to be apologetic, but let me explain it using your logic. So you find more COVID when you do more tests, and you find more results when more votes get read. It's crazy, but that's how counting works. I can show you if you want. Share tax returns. You'll be fine, old mate. You survived impeachment. You survived coronavirus by injecting disinfectant. You've had 6 bankruptcies and 2 divorces. 200 days of tax-paid golf and golf courses. You survived the guilt of putting kids in cages and 26 sexual misconduct accusations. You've only got like 4,000 active lawsuits. So man up, Donnie, and hang up the boots. Fake news, fake hair, fake tan, fake smiles, fake offshore accounts in the Cayman Isles. You're a fake president with a fake first lady who's gonna take half of your fake ass money. And you finally succeeded in building your wall around the White House, and it's 10 feet tall. For someone who hates lockdown as much as you do, you were quick to lock yourself down in there, dude. Fake friends who used you to climb the ladder, and fake everything else that no longer matters. Fake supporters who piss on homeless people. You're the sworn enemy of the American Eagle, cause you tried to fool the world with no regret, and you're in $900 million debt. On the down low, if you know what I mean, like your old mate Jeffrey Epstein. Nah, you'll be fine. You've told 20,000 lies and 230,000 people have died, just like daddy's money gave you your start. Daddy Bannon will give you a job at Breitbart, cause no one believes your bullshit rules, cause you're doing what you said you'd do when you lose. So see ya, buddy, you gave it a crack, and now even Fox News hasn't got your back. So sorry, old chump, but you're out of tricks, and you can suck 75 million dicks. The people voted someone else was hired, so sorry to say it, cunt, but you're fired.
Yeah, how many hundreds of times do you just put it on a loop and enjoy it? Bye-bye, Donnie. It's a blast. Magnificent. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers via Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to some of you do all three, one or two. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter what manner you choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Now, Texas has crossed 1 million cases. California is about to. The United States, where do we stand? God, what a horror. We've set a new record. More than 144,000 new coronavirus cases. Trey sent that along. Thank you, Trey. So the best way to stay safe is to stay home. Avoid going out as much as possible. To the extent that you have to go out, and I understand that, because from time to time I have to, more than I like. So when you go out, wear your mask. Wear your gloves. Dispose of them properly. Wash your hands with soap and water frequently. Don't touch your face. Carry hand sanitizer with you and use it if you think you might have touched something. Don't be shy. Keep your social distance, not 6 feet, but 10, 15, 20 if possible. Take Paul from parts unknown at his word. And if somebody comes towards you saying, "They called me a Karen and that's voter intimidation," avoid that person like the plague. Because she is. Later, y'all.